Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. Somebody just got paid in the National Football League. Welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM, 107.5 FM, our North Gym frequency here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and online at KGYMradio.com. Solid program for you over the next 3 hours. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, said to join us at the bottom of the hour for his weekly segment. Oh, baby, I love this segment. Did Gary like the fact or love the fact that Mark Farley didn't go for two in the second overtime against Iowa State? We'll ask him that and more. The 5 o'clock face-off tonight brings an opportunity for you in hour number two to take home a four-pack of tickets to the Marcus Theaters. We will preview this weekend's Big Ten opener for Iowa with Keith Sargent, who covers the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to be with us at 6:15 tonight. He will answer all your pressing fantasy football questions. I suddenly find myself possibly without a tight end tomorrow, as Trey Burton appears to be questionable for the opener between the Bears and the Packers. Your texts and phone calls are welcome. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line up and running. I know, because I got all the notifications during the Chris Liss segment from rotowire.com during the gym class. Our good friends at Imon Communications sponsoring fantasy football content on both programs over the course of the football season. And Alex, I imagine anybody who owns Ezekiel Elliott in their fantasy football league is probably breathing a sigh of relief today.
I would think so. I know that there was some trepidation drafting him maybe in that top five range, but those who took that gamble, I think it's going to pay off for them. A huge, huge deal. 6 years on top of the 2 years that he has remaining on his contract. $90 million for Ezekiel Elliott.
I want to know the lowest position that the listeners saw Ezekiel Elliott go in their fantasy drafts this year. How far did he fall in your fantasy draft? 319-366-1600. You can text the answers to us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I don't know where to begin with the Ezekiel Elliott contract. I guess the signing bonus would be a nice start, because that's always upfront money. So he gets $16.35 million from the Giants in signing bonus. His base salary this year is about $750,000, but it's fully guaranteed. There's a 2020 option / base salary of $19.8 million, fully guaranteed. So at signing, he got $36.902 million, fully guaranteed. He also gets a $9.6 million injury guarantee for 2021. That's 2 years down the road. It becomes fully guaranteed on the fifth day of 2020, the 2020 league year. Thus, and this is Pro Football Talk verbiage, as of the middle of March 2020, Zeke will have $45 million fully guaranteed. Then he's got a $12.4 million injury guarantee for 2022. It becomes guaranteed on the fifth day of the 2021 league year. Thus, within 19 months of signing, Zeke will have more than $58 million fully guaranteed. Big win for Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe not a big win for some of his Dallas Cowboys teammates, because as Jerry Jones said recently, there's only so much pie to go around.
Right. Well, what does this mean for Dak Prescott, and what does this mean for Amari Cooper? Because, yes, we can mention that Ezekiel Elliott is making stupid money now, but you also have to mention that they paid an extension to Jalen Smith, and a couple of days ago they gave a huge extension to Lyle Collins, an offensive lineman. So how much money do they have left? This is not an open or a non-salary cap sport. There is a salary cap, and the amount of money that Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott are going to be asking for, it just seems to me like Amari Cooper is going to be the odd man out here.
Was this a wise decision on the part of the Dallas Cowboys? The running back position, as we've seen in the NFL, is being devalued. There's less of an emphasis on paying your running backs. And Dallas sort of bucked the system here. They paid their running back, and they paid their running back a lot of money, while their quarterback and their wide receiver and a couple other guys on their roster are still waiting for their piece of the pie.
That's a great question, because I remember when we were discussing Dak Prescott, who are you going to pay? Are you going to pay Dak Prescott, or are you going to pay Ezekiel Elliott, as if it was some kind of either-or situation? I said, I am waiting for an NFL team to buck the trend and say, you know what? Yeah, quarterbacks are getting paid, but we think that Ezekiel Elliott, or we think that another player on a team like a running back or a linebacker or a wide receiver is more important to our team, so we're going to pay that player instead of a quarterback. And that's exactly what the Cowboys are doing right now. They're paying big money and going over many years. They're having giving long-term contracts, I should say, to three positions that don't last very long, where the shelf life of these players is not long. 10 years of Ezekiel Elliott, what's he going to look like in 3 years? Is he going to be the all NFL, the leading rusher in the NFL in 5 years?
Well, Todd Gurley signed a massive deal with the Rams,
exactly,
and now is an arthritic cripple.
He had two ACL injuries, and that catches up to you. Your knees just aren't the same. And Ezekiel Elliott, not just him, but Lyle Collins, a guard. Is he going to be one of the best guards in the league in 3 years? They have him locked up for 5 years. Jalen Smith, a linebacker. What's the shelf life for a linebacker? It's not great. So what this is telling me is Jerry Jones is saying, we think we have a team to win the Super Bowl, and we want to win it right now. The window is open right now, and let's go for it.
We may have a winner on the unofficial question of the day on the text line. How far did Ezekiel Elliott fall in your fantasy drafts? 0983 says 12-man, non-PPR. He was the 23rd pick, basically the second-to-last pick in the second round.
Wow.
Can't imagine he fell any further than the 23rd pick in anyone's draft. I thought 15 was bad. Apparently, our producer Kyle Mann did as well. I saw he responded on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We'll hear from Kyle coming up shortly. He'll bring you a big board update once an hour. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are at home tonight, kicking off the Midwest League playoffs, the semifinals of the Western Division on the line as Quad Cities comes to town tonight. Games 2 and, if necessary, 3, Thursday and Friday in Davenport. The other Western Division series beginning play tonight, the Clinton Lumber Kings hosting the Kane County Cougars. We'll get to some player audio from Iowa's media availability yesterday. A lot of people are talking about young Mr. Schott out of Coggin. I know you saw the video that was making the rounds earlier today of, I think, Mike Golic Jr. retweeted
Correct.
It. He took notice of Schott's performance against Miami.
If you have not seen this video clip, words can't do it justice, but watch Kyler Schott pancake three players on one play. Literally. Three in one play.
He's making the most of his opportunity with Alaric Jackson out. We'll hear from him, as well as Solon native Tyler Linderbaum, who slid in seamlessly as a starter on the offensive line against Miami last week. I'd say things get a little bit tougher this week for the Hawkeyes. That may or may not be the case. However, it is a Big Ten football game as Rutgers comes to town. Again, we'll be talking with Keith Sargent of New Jersey Advanced Media as he covers Chris Ash's team. Chris Ash ready for his homecoming. This will be the first time Rutgers plays in Iowa City as a member of the Big Ten. Our poll question at KGYMradio.com today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Is it too early for a Big Ten football game? Yes or no? And so far, 100% of those responding say no, it's not too early for a Big Ten football game. Kirk Ferentz would say otherwise.
Although, if Kirk Ferentz had to choose any team to kick off, to play a conference game in week two against, behind the scenes, he would never answer this to the media. He would pick Rutgers.
Yeah, you're not coming out of the gate with Wisconsin. You're not coming out of the gate with Ohio State.
Not this Northwestern.
This is going to have the feel of a non-conference football game, I think, for a lot of people. There are still a number of folks, traditional Big Ten fans, that have a hard time viewing Rutgers and Maryland as anything other than carpetbaggers. Now, granted, they were invited to carpetbag, and they were paid handsomely to join the Big Ten because Jim Delaney is an evil genius who knew that bringing those two teams on board was going to increase television revenues astronomically. And that has been the case, is you get anywhere between $40 and $50 million a year now if you're the University of Iowa just from your TV deal alone. Taking a look at the text line, getting back to Ezekiel Elliott, Michael in Cedar Rapids says, Jerry Jones is a great businessman and has built the number one sports franchise in the world. He's relatively clueless when it comes to football knowledge.
Is Jerry Jones sort of the George Steinbrenner of the NFL?
I think he's the closest thing to George Steinbrenner that we have in all of the four major sports today. I can't think of anybody other than Jerry Jones that would fit that mold. Sort of the owner who's not afraid to spend recklessly, who desperately wants to win. He wants to be relevant. And much like Steinbrenner, also enjoys being a celebrity. I mean, let's face it, Jerry Jones likes being the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And as you said, there's an opportunity here. There's a window. And it's not going to be a very big one, I don't think. But they've got their quarterback. Now, Dak Prescott is not a top five quarterback. Not top 10 quarterback, but he's a serviceable starting quarterback. They've got a quarterback. They've got a receiver. Great acquisition from the Raiders. They've got their running back, who, by the way, may be the best running back in the NFL, and now he's being paid like it. They even coaxed Jason Witten out of retirement, or he convinced himself to unretire. They're solid offensively. They're pretty good defensively. They're going all in. And Jerry Jones looked at this, and as the memory of Emmett Smith holding out comes to mind here, Jerry Jones looked at this and said, we can't afford to play 2 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, without Ezekiel Elliott. Let's step up to the table. Let's get it done. Now, the question is this going to age well? And when I say age well, I'm not talking about 2021. I'm talking about days or weeks from now, months from now, when they've got to sit down and figure out how they're going to keep everybody else happy. Now, the salary cap is set to go up, I believe, next year, right?
Yes.
So they're going to be able to spend a little bit more money, but they may have done that here with Ezekiel Elliott committing a lot of the pie, so to speak, to use Jerry Jones's terminology, the pie here has gotten smaller for Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and a couple of their teammates.
It's kind of interesting to see the give and take, the tug of war going on between Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. Because I have a friend who works in the Dallas market for the ESPN affiliate, and they sort of chalk it up to Stephen Jones came in to make sure that Jerry Jones didn't get too close to the players and let emotion dictate whether or not they were going to pay those players. Because in the past, I'll pay anybody. I believe in these guys. I like these guys. I'm going to pay these guys. But in the NFL, as we're discussing, there's a salary cap, and Stephen Jones was brought in to kind of be the barrier between Jerry Jones and the players, so he wasn't spending stupidly and putting his team in a bad position salary cap wise. Now, at the end of the day, Jerry Jones has the final say. Jerry Jones can veto everything. Even though Stephen Jones is there, Jerry Jones has the power, and 6 years on top of the 4 years that Ezekiel Elliott will have played when his current contract ends, seems like it has Jerry Jones written all over it.
Cowboys fans, I know there are a number of you here in Eastern Iowa. How do you feel about Zeke Elliott's deal today and Dallas committing so much of the pie to a player that plays a position that seems to be getting less and less emphasis, at least when it comes to paying those players? 319-366-1600. Good deal, bad deal. Zeke Elliott getting paid today by the Dallas Cowboys. He's not the only NFL player who got paid. I'm sure you saw Jared Goff's deal with the Rams.
Wow.
It's good to be a quarterback.
Yes, it is. $100 million guaranteed for Jared Goff. $100 million guaranteed.
Which deal will age better? Ezekiel Elliott or Jared Goff? I'm going to go with Goff here just because of the position that he plays.
Right. The longevity, the system that he's in.
But that's a lot of money.
You can call him a system quarterback all you want, but if he fits in the system and is successful in that system, then what the hell difference does it make? If he's putting up numbers in that system and he is performing the way that we think he's capable of, then it doesn't matter. But I'm not sold on him just yet. I think that he's still a little immature. He's still a little too much of a gunslinger. He doesn't have all the answers yet. So I'm going to be interested to see if he continues to move forward this year and maybe checks down a little bit more, stops forcing the ball into coverage like he did at times last year and in the Super Bowl, or if he kind of continues that. That's my one worry with him. $100 million already at age 24 for a guy that still needs some development, that scares me a little bit.
Meanwhile, one guy who's not getting paid is Melvin Gordon, and it doesn't look like there's any solution on the horizon anytime soon for Melvin Gordon and the Chargers, who apparently want a first-round pick and more for Melvin Gordon's services.
I don't think he's going to play this year.
Yeah, if you drafted Ezekiel Elliott with the 23rd pick in your fantasy football draft, you're probably sitting pretty today. If you drafted Melvin Gordon with the 23rd pick in your fantasy football draft, you might have a shot at beating Scott Unash's team. And Chris List just bashing Scott. Did he say Christian McCaffrey with the number 2 overall pick last night? Was that what it was? In a half-point PPR league? Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will answer your fantasy football questions tonight at 6:15. Again, get those questions to us on the text line, 319-366-1600. You can give Tristan a follow on Twitter, at Sultan of Stat. You can give us a follow as well at KGYM Radio. Individually, at Todd Brommelkamp, at Alex Kuhn 523. Kyle will join us shortly. He'll get you a big board update. As we mentioned, the Colonels at home tonight could be the final game at Veterans Memorial Stadium this season, as the Colonels hosting the Quad Cities River Bandits. 6:35 first pitch with Luis Rijo on the mound. Not a whole lot else going on across Eastern Iowa today. We failed to mention this yesterday, though. You and I announcing on Tuesday that they will sell alcohol to the general public at both the Uni Dome and at the McLeod Center this year. So Saturday, if you're going to go take in the UNI Southern Utah game, you can get some ice cold suds and enjoy them in the stands.
Oh, baby.
Don't have to sneak the... How did you... And I'm assuming, I'm making an assumption here. How did you go about sneaking beverages into the stadium when you were a student at the University of Iowa? Or when you're just a general fan? Did you go sweatpants?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
I actually never did.
You never did. You never broke the law.
No.
Never got the tiny little airplane bottles.
No, surprisingly.
Baggy sweatpants.
Now here's the deal. The only times I went to games as a student or as a fan, I was underage, because by the time I was of age, I was covering the games and announcing games for KRUI. So
still leaves the door open there. Underage still leaves the door open there. See, I don't know the fashion today. And I got to be honest with you, old man yelling at a cloud here on my way walking into Kinnick Stadium last Saturday night. I had to do a double and triple take at what some of the quote-unquote kids are wearing these days and what passes for fashion. But then my immediate thought was, when you dress like that, when you have as a small amount of clothing on as some of the young women did there, where are you hiding the booze? There's no place to put the cans of Busch Light, let alone a couple airplane bottles of Captain Morgan. You got to think about this. Cooler weather is always better, because then you can get away, you can dress in layers. My favorite thing is at the end of the game, you can always look up into the stands and see the empty little bottles up there.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Somebody posted a screenshot from the game, from the TV broadcast, of somebody just casually drinking a can of Busch Light in the stands on Saturday. I thought, you know what? Kudos to you.
Oh, I remember in the student section seeing people drinking cans of Busch Light, people bringing in full bottles, people smoking cigarettes in the student section. Oh, those were the days.
8209 says the Jack Trice unofficial world record is 14 Busch Lights and a pint of hot damn in a winter coat. That's some lax security right there. I'm impressed. It's like Baxter eating the whole wheel of cheese in Anchorman. No, I'm not mad. I'm impressed. 425, Gary Rima coming up with us shortly as the text line explodes with people telling their stories. We're not endorsing this. Don't get me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble at Iowa now. I'm not endorsing this at all. I'm saying that I'm impressed, but I'm not telling you to sneak booze into the stadium. No. You do whatever you want to do, because it's not right that it gets sold to certain people and not to other people. So if they're gonna prevent you Joe fan, general public, from having a drink, and you want to have a drink, take your chances, roll your dice. You and I says, hey, we'll just sell it. We'll do it responsibly. We'll make sure that we're not getting anybody into trouble here, but we're going to sell you beer. We trust you. You're adults. Imagine that, treating your fan base like adults. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before Iowa and Iowa State follow suit on this. Now, if Iowa does this, it'll be like last Saturday night. They'll run out by like the second quarter. They ran out of hot dogs. They ran out of popcorn. Can you imagine running out of beer at Kinnick Stadium? Once they did eventually sell it to the general public, it wouldn't be pretty. Gary Rima set to join us coming up in just a little bit. Oh, baby. I love this segment. The play-by-play voice of the Panthers back with us for another football season. You and I, Southern Utah, 4 o'clock kickoff on the Panther Sports Network this Saturday. We'll have that game for you. Before we get to Gary, our producer Kyle Mann is with us in the studio 3 times a day on the program. He brings you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check him out in Iowa City on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair gas station.
The NFL season kicks off tomorrow with the Bears and Packers. There's a handful of familiar players set to be on the field, including former Cyclone David Montgomery with the Bears. But in the final minutes of yesterday's show, we learned that former Cyclone Alan Lazard will also be in uniform tomorrow, as he's been promoted to Green Bay's 53-man roster. He was actually cut over the weekend, but immediately signed to the practice squad, and after a couple injuries, he's now set to make his regular season NFL debut. Former Iowa State guard Lindell Wigginton also took another step towards becoming a professional today, as the Minnesota Timberwolves announced they've signed him to an Exhibit 10 contract, and that now makes 9 former Cyclones with NBA contracts. Cedar Rapids Xavier graduate Mitch Keller broke into the major leagues with the Pirates this season, but last night had a scary moment when he was drilled by a line drive, struck him in the wrist of his throwing hand at a velocity of 105 miles per hour. But miraculously, Keller appears to have avoided anything too serious. Reports are that he played catch today, and there's at least a slight chance he throws a scheduled bullpen and makes his next scheduled start. The Colonels have their first game in the Midwest League playoffs set for tonight, hosting Quad Cities. The Colonels will throw Luis Rio out there and would like to capitalize here at home, as game 2 tomorrow and a potential game 3 on Friday would both be on the road. The team did take 2 of 3 from the River Bandits just last week, so they'll try to do the same tonight starting at 6:35. Tonight after the show, we'll pick up the Twins and Red Sox in progress from Boston. The Twins have pulled back out to a 6.5 game lead in the Central, and you can hear them try to extend it on 107.5 FM North, Jim.
And speaking of the Colonels and the Twins, another former Colonel making his Major League debut tonight, set to debut with the San Francisco Giants, Jalen Davis, who was an outfielder here a couple seasons ago, traded to the Giants in the Sam Dyson deal. In July, hit 35 home runs across 2 levels and 2 organizations this summer, between AA and AAA, and between the Twins and Giants organizations. He is in the lineup, and looks like I think he's batting 7th or 8th tonight for San Francisco. So it's always fun to watch guys that came through Cedar Rapids make their way to the major leagues. 4:29, we'll take a quick timeout. That's good news, by the way, on Mitch Keller. I watched that live last night in the 6 o'clock hour while we were on the air, and it certainly looked to me as if he was likely going to suffer perhaps a broken wrist or something along those lines, and for it to just be a contusion if the initial exam holds true here. Certainly talk about dodging your bullets there if you're Mitch Keller and the Pirates. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima, set to join us. We'll find out whether or not he's processed just exactly what he called Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium as the Panthers come up just short in triple overtime of a major upset against Iowa State. Gary is with us next.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Get ready, Linmar. This is the gym's Scott Unash. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming to you live Friday at 3. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
Hey, it's Chris Atterbury. The Minnesota Twins looking to make it 2 in a row at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. They'll hand the ball to Jose Barrios. He'll be opposed by left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez. It's right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday, a beautiful Wednesday here in eastern Iowa. Week 2 of the college football season on the horizon. We promised you we would look back on Iowa State, you and I, with Gary Rima last week, and unfortunately we have to tear that scab off for Gary today. Oh, baby, I love this segment with the play-by-play voice of the Panthers. And Gary, you've had a couple days to marinate on this, 29-26. How do you put into perspective what you saw at Jack Trice Stadium last weekend?
Well, no moral victories, because this Panther football team really thought they could go in there and knock off this top 25-ranked FBS program and had a great run at it. And I think we answered some questions, Todd, that needed to be answered. One was that quarterback position. Will McElvain going to be able to do in a game situation against an opponent that was game planning against that Panther offense, was going to be able to do the things we were seeing him do in practice and even the things that Coach Farley saw him do last year as a true freshman and then in spring ball? And that question, I think, got answered with an exclamation point that he's exactly what this team thought they had in that quarterback position, a guy that has a lot of confidence, got a strong arm, an accurate arm, and can extend plays. He's got that astute ability and extends plays and makes things happen. So that was, a huge positive coming out of that game moving forward. Had to find a place kicker. Sam Drysdale, the guy that I think a lot of people thought would be the starting place kicker, except from Cedar Rapids Prairie, but just battling an injury that is not allowing him to kick on a regular basis. And Coach Farley felt that the true freshman, Matthew Cook from Cedar Falls, just nosed out Nate Murphy in the place-kicking battle. And all that true freshman does is go 4 for 4 in field goals, including a 50-yarder and a 49-yarder, the 49-yarder coming in overtime, and the 50-yarder tying the game up on the first drive of the third quarter, and then he hit all his PATs. So, I mean, just big question marks, I think, answered those two important positions, along with some other things. But I thought that's a couple of big takeaways from the effort out of you and I last Saturday.
A big topic of conversation yesterday on the program, and I want to get your thoughts on it, but were you surprised Mark Farley didn't go for 2 in double overtime?
You know, I really thought he would take that shot for the victory. I think going into the game, if somebody said to Coach Farley and his coaching staff and even the players said, hey, listen, we're going to put the ball at the 3-yard line of Iowa State. It's your ball, your offense on the field. If you can advance it 3 yards, you're going to beat a top 25-ranked team on their home turf. I think you'd have taken that. So initially I'm thinking, man, that might have been the opportunity to grab sudden victory. Or, yeah, you're going to check into Heartbreak Hotel, Todd, if you don't get that two-point conversion. But I would have loved to have seen the reaction of the crowd if Coach Farley would have trotted the offense back onto the field for that two-point try, with them realizing, oh, man, they're either going to beat us on this play or we're going to stop them and escape with the win. But with that being said, after talking with Coach Farley about it on the post-game show, I asked him again about it at his press conference yesterday, just after having a few days to think about it. the two-point play in double overtime. Any other thoughts? But when he really explained it, that after the Panthers scored that touchdown in double overtime, the scramble by McElvain and finding Trevor Allen for the touchdown, he just said he felt his team just, they didn't hardly celebrate. They seemed a little tired. He wasn't sure if they just were going to be prepared to run that that important of a play. Plus, after that touchdown is scored, that 25-second play clock starts to run, and he just wasn't sure he could get the right team on the field, the right formation, so decided to go for the PAT. And then he added a really great point yesterday that Riley Moore, he said we have plenty of two-point plays in. We have a number of those. We've been working on them since the opening day of camp. But he said Riley Moore is in on a lot of those two-point plays and is a key component of those two-point plays. And with him injured and not involved, he just didn't feel like it didn't feel right. And he said, I knew that if we scored a touchdown in the third overtime, we'd have to go for two. But he goes, I just wasn't sure I had everybody ready thinking, let's go for two and without more. So I certainly understand his decision of holding off. But when you think about it, hindsight, you know, it's always 20/20. You're thinking, well, the way the game turned out, probably should have went for two there in the instant win. But certainly understand why he didn't when he explained his reasoning.
Gary, let's talk about Will McElvain, because we went into this game wondering, okay, how is a redshirt freshman quarterback making his first start going to respond to being, like you said, in a top 25 team's building? But by the end of the game, we're talking about put the ball in his hands and let's see what he can do. He showed that kind of poise and sort of that it factor. How impressive was that part of his game in a really hostile environment?
Well, I think that, Alex, is what should really impress everybody. Don't get me wrong. He didn't play great. He didn't have a perfect game, but he played really good when you factor in all the things that were working against him, from going up against the number one rushing defense and scoring defense in the Big 12 a year ago with a number of key guys back, and the thought that going up against one of the best defensive lines that we may face all year. Your first collegiate start, you're doing it, you know, before 61,500. Gotta believe there was some, even as confident as he is, had to be some nerves involved with that. And with him to just show the poise and just make some of the plays that he did, it was hugely impressive, and none more impressive than that scramble in that second overtime to keep that play alive and then find Trevor Allen in the end zone for the touchdown. But he did some other really good things too. There's definitely some things he's going to need to get better at and work on. I know one thing that the coaches talked about was that getting the ball out on time in the passing game, he's got to get better at that. But some of that had to do, I think, with the defensive front, the pressure that Iowa State was putting on him. So, I'm pretty excited about what we've got at that quarterback position. So I mentioned this in some other interviews and stuff going into the game, and people talking about Will McElvain. But Alex, it in my 26 years now of doing UNI football, the quarterbacks that always have given us the biggest fits, the ones that we struggled against, was that type of quarterback that Will McElvain showed on Saturday. And whether it was Carson Wentz with his mobility and able to avoid the rush and sacks and keep plays alive, or Easton Stick, Terran Christian at South Dakota State, those kind of quarterbacks are the ones that have beaten us in recent years, and I thought we had a really good team. So it was kind of fun to see us be able to put that kind of quarterback on the field. And I think he's going to give a lot of defenses in FCS football now in our final 11 games. He's going to give some defenses some headaches with what he brings to the offense.
Oh, baby, I love this segment. The play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Reimer, with us on a Wednesday. 1.1 yards per carry on the ground from the ground game. Is that Iowa State's defense being stout, or is that area concern for you and I?
You know what, coming off that game, Todd, and looking forward, for game one, I'm going to just say that's because Iowa State, number one rushing defense a year ago in the Big 12. And I know that a lot of Big 12 teams, you know, they don't run it on first down, run it on second down, and pass on third. There's a lot of pass-happy offenses in the Big 12. But they still had a really stout rush defense a year ago when those guys were back. So I'm going to chalk that up to Iowa State's defense and hold out for a couple of weeks to see if our run game doesn't look a whole lot better now moving forward, including this Saturday against Southern Utah, a team that gave up 350-some yards on the ground to UNLV. So I really think our rush game would be good. I'm not sure it's going to be great. We need it to be good. We haven't had a great rushing game since David Johnson. But it just has to be there to where we can keep defenses honest. That, you know what, if you're just going to, you know, gear up to find a way to slow down Will McElbain and our passing game and put a spy on him, then we can hurt you with our run game. We didn't show that on Saturday against Iowa State, but I do think we've got the capability with that big offensive line and some of the tight ends that we've got that can help open up holes. And I think Trevor Allen can be more than a capable running back. Tyler Hoosman's looked good. We got a glimpse of Alfonso Soko. He showed some signs in fall practice where he's got that burst of speed. And still want to see Nick McCabe, this true freshman out of Caledonia, Minnesota. He's looked really good in fall camp. So I think we can be good with the running game. And I think one other thing on that part of it, I think Will McElvain will also be a guy at that quarterback spot that he'll break off some runs that'll be pretty impressive before this season's all done and over with. So I think it can be good. And if it's good, then our passing game, I think, is going to be great.
What about the job the defense did? Nothing really downfield to speak of for Iowa State. They kept everything in front of them and then, of course, came up with that really, really timely turnover and scoop and score.
Yeah, again, just another, for me, a really bright spot coming out of that game. There were a lot of question marks, Alex, on the defensive side of the football. We lost some key guys, you know, including Duncan Furch, the leader, the middle linebacker of that defense of a year ago that was just a really cerebral, really smart player that knew where to get everybody and you know, was like a coach on the field. And so to see that defense hold Iowa State to a field goal in the first half and it took Iowa State to kick a field goal in the final minute just to send that game to overtime. It was a really impressive defensive effort. And I thought the coaching staff had a great game plan. They worked a lot in the first 3 weeks of fall ball. They worked a lot of 4-3 defense, some 4-2-5 stuff, and didn't show a lot of three-down linemen. And then they put in the more of a 3-4, kind of a 3-3-5 look at times defensively, and it really seemed to bother Iowa State. And it was even a surprise to us when they came out with just the three-down linemen. And they did do some 4-3 stuff, some 4-2-5. But the defensive game plan was beautifully executed by the players and first of all, scripted by the coaching staff. I think this defense is going to be really good. I think that was a question mark for me going into this season. I thought watching fall camp, the offense was definitely ahead of the defense. And then the last 10 days or so of camp, the defense really picked up some new guys there, including Spencer Kubler at that middle linebacker spot and a few new guys in the secondary, a few new guys in the defensive line. But, man, they really came together, and I think that's going to be a solid unit moving forward.
What do you think of Xavier Williams at free safety?
He was good, and he loves that spot, guys. And just he's our best cornerback, but I think he can be the top safety too. He's a good guy to give that freedom to roam a little bit, to read the offense, to read the quarterback's eyes. If they can keep him at that position, I think that helps solidify this defense to where I think we got a cornerback position we got to shore up a little bit, and if it doesn't get better, you may see the X-Man move back to his corner spot, but with some of the things he did at safety, that's a bonus to have him be able to play that position if the rest of the secondary can be as solid as this coaching staff thinks it can be.
So now looking at the rest of the non-conference, we talked about this a little bit last week, but you mentioned Southern Utah, who came off a big loss to UNLV, and then at home against Idaho State, two winnable games in Cedar Falls the next 2 weeks, or the next 3 weeks, because the bye week in between for the UNI Panthers.
Yeah. Well, these upcoming two games are paramount to win. The Panthers have got to find a way to beat a Southern Utah team that did beat us 2 years ago, and they went to the playoffs out of the Big Sky. They did not have a good year last year. They struggled against UNLV. They did get, I think, scored 16 late points in the fourth quarter, like in the last 6-7 minutes. But this is a team that we should be a prohibitive favorite to take down, and now you can't have any letdown coming off that Iowa State loss. You got to come out and play great right away. But Panthers have got to pick off these next two opponents, Alex. And if they do that, and you're going to Weber State 2-1, and Weber State a top 10 ranked team, and co-champs of the Big Sky, and they feel like they got a great team back, I think that gives you great hope that you can go on the road and knock off Weber State in their house and open up conference play 3-1. Worst case scenario, maybe you're 2-2, but you got to get these next two games. If you drop one of these next two, now you start to question yourself a little bit, not only going to Weber State, but into Missouri Valley Football Conference play, where you got to open up with Youngstown State, a team that will probably be 4-0 when they come into the Unidome for that conference opener. So I really, we hate to talk about must wins two games into the season, but when you look at that rest of that schedule, especially the Missouri Valley Football Conference part of it, Panthers have got to find a way to win these next two games, and it needs to start with a big win this Saturday at home.
Gary, before we let you go, it certainly didn't sound like a positive outlook for Briley Moore. How does his loss affect the offense?
I think he's going to miss a few games. I don't think it's season-ending. It certainly is a blow because he's a huge part of this offense, Todd. And you look at the offense and you see a lot of weapons there, and you think you can suffer maybe a slight injury here or there, and I think we can overcome it over the next couple of weeks with the opponents we have. And I think Tristan Boers looked good at tight end and can do a good job in that spot. But he's not a guy you want to lose for the season. And just in talking with him through a message, he said he's feeling better. Not season ending, not concussion, not head or neck related. So I think we'll see him back on the field. And the bye week, I think, falls at a good time for him. And if we can take care of business this Saturday, get through the bye week, take care of Idaho State at our place, he may be ready to come back when we head to Weber State. Maybe the Youngstown State Conference opener that following week. But I think we'll get him back, and I think with the opponents we have moving forward for the next couple of weeks, I think we can ride out this storm without having him and be just fine.
4 p.m., UNI Southern Utah from the Unidome. The beer will be flowing at 4 p.m. this Saturday. Gary, we appreciate you chatting with us.
Come out and see this team play. I think they're worth the price of admission. And yeah, you can have an adult beverage, too, if you want, if you're 21 or older. So at home this Saturday, and looking forward to a good home opener for this Panther ball club, guys.
We'll chat with you next Wednesday.
All right, thanks a lot.
Oh, baby, I love this segment. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the Panthers. We will have that game featuring the Thunderbirds of Southern Utah and the Panthers for you, 4 o'clock on Saturday.
I wish they would have gone for two. I'm still sitting here on Wednesday saying that, but they have to move on.
No moral victories.
Nope. They have to win these next two games and then go into a very tough conference schedule. But I think a lot of teams around that Missouri Valley Football Conference are looking and saying, uh-oh. They have a quarterback that is very difficult to prepare for. You know what you're going to get from UNI offensively, but Will McIlvain is the type of quarterback that when plays break down, it seems like he is at his best when that happens. And I think that'll have a lot of coaches in the MVC sort of staying up late at night trying to game plan for them this season.
And I'm with Gary. I would love to have heard the audible reaction inside Jack Trice Stadium if the offense would have gone back out onto the field.
Right.
Unfortunately, we'll never know what it would have sounded like in Ames. The Cyclones win 29-26, and now you and I prepares for Southern Utah this weekend. Got to improve the ground game, although as you heard Gary say there, 1.1 yard per carry. Chalk that up to facing Ray Lima and Iowa State's defense and not being able to move the ball against an elite Big 12 FCS defense. So we'll see whether or not the ground game looks a little better this weekend against Southern Utah than it did last weekend in Ames. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can continue to use it to reach out to us. We'll be talking Rutgers football with Keith Sargent coming up in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. And Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answers your fantasy football questions at 6:15 tonight, courtesy of Imon Communications. Don't forget, you've still got time to sign up and register for our KGYM knockout pool, also brought to you by Imon Communications. The first game of the season is tomorrow night, featuring the Bears and the Packers. You don't have to select that game if you don't want to, but if you do, you definitely need to get signed up and registered today. Head on over to KGYMradio.com. We've got full details. All you need is a free account at NFL.com. Make your picks, one different team each week. Somebody left standing at the end of this is going to be $500 richer, courtesy of Imon Communications. First hour of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM after this.
Kevin Harlan here from Westwood One, inviting you to join us for the kickoff of the NFL's 100th season with a matchup between two of the oldest and most storied franchises. It's the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and I will have all the action from Chicago's Soldier Field. Don't miss a single second. And hear the NFL all season long from Westwood One.
The NFL season kicks off with the Bears hosting the Packers Thursday night at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
The kids are back in school.
Yes.
Football season is here. And it's the most wonderful time of the year at Airport National Golf. It's time for fall golf. Play Airport National in Cedar Rapids Monday through Friday from open to 2 p.m. and get a round of golf, cart, and lunch for just $25. There's plenty of great golf days left, so spend them at Airport National and get a round, cart, and lunch for just $25. Stop in for details. Airport National Golf, Wright Brothers Boulevard in Cedar Rapids.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 2 5-1/4 ounce bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with 2 bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Curb appeal. You know it when you see it. And with the Home Depot, today is the day for doing. Boost your curb appeal with the best brands at the best prices. From new garage doors to colorful flowers, exterior lights to a new coat of paint, inspiration to installation. You can get everything you need on a budget. Like select special order windows and doors, now 15% off. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Offer valid through September 11th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Lowe's helps pros like you get the job done right by having more of the supplies you use most in stock every day, like treated lumber, fencing, and decking in the quantities you need for any size job. And we help you save with Labor Day deals like $20 off a Metabo HPT pneumatic framing nailer, now just $179. Order ahead at lowesforpros.com and have your order delivered or pick up in store. Our dedicated pro loaders will load you up and get you back to the job site where you're needed most. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 9/8, U.S. only.
Are you experiencing anxiety?
Am I going crazy?
Intense cravings?
Ah.
Delirium? If so, you may be experiencing football withdrawal.
Oh, thank goodness.
Clinical studies suggest a heavy dose of face painting, screaming at the top of your lungs, and setting your radio dial right here on the Panthers Sports Network.
Saturday, the Panthers host Southern Utah. Coverage begins at 3 o'clock on the Gym. 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Welcome back in the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3, the North and South Gyms, respectively, via FM frequency and online at kgymradio.com. Poor BJ and Marion just reaching out to us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Did I miss Gary? Yeah, by a matter of minutes, but that's all right. The website, kgymradio.com, it's where you can go for Gary Rima and the remainder of the show. We will post the podcast as soon as we're off the air tonight. 1 hour in the books, plenty more to come. The 5 o'clock hour features a chat with Keith Sargent, who covers the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Chris Ash returning to his home state this weekend for Iowa and Rutgers Big Ten opener. Keith is going to be with us at 5:30 tonight. We'll also hear from some of the Hawkeye football players we caught up with yesterday, including the star of the offensive line last Saturday, Kyler Schott, out of North Lynn High School in Coggin, Iowa. You'll hear a little bit of what he had to say. I think he's probably still smiling today after his media availability. But we'll kick things off in the 5 o'clock hour with a 5 o'clock face-off. Your opportunity tonight to take home a four-pack of tickets to the Marcus Theaters. It's all on the way as the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues right here on KGYM after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. After signing a 6-year, $90 million extension, star running back Ezekiel Elliott joined the Cowboys and took part in his first on-field work with the team since mid-June at minicamp. With Elliott back in the fold, this is the best Cowboys team since their glory days of the 1990s, and they should be in the Super Bowl this season, believes ESPN's Damian Woody.
They eat up time of possession. They keep their defense fresh. Do we want to play 8 in the box? Well, guess what? We got 3 wide receivers that can beat you. Defensively, they're going to be fresh. They got a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore who's going to use, to me, is going to utilize an aspect of the Dallas Cowboys offense that was underutilized, and that's Dak Prescott's legs.
Elliott admitted today it was important for him to be the highest paid running back in the NFL because he believes he's the best. Receiver Antonio Brown on Instagram aired his frustrations over a letter detailing $54,000 in fines from the Raiders for unexcused absences at training camp this summer. Part of Brown's response, everyone got to pay this year. The Raiders letter also warned of future fines if Brown misses more mandatory team activities.
Coming up Thursday, folks, it's here. Welcome to the 100th NFL season. We'll get you primed for Bears Packers. Plus, Zeke's eating good with his new deal, so when is it Dak's turn, and is he eating more than Jared Goff? Now I'm hungry. Go Look and Win, Go Thursday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Want to wow your family and friends during your tailgates?
There is nothing else like our gunpowder seasoning. Hi, I'm Lisa with the Grillworks. The smoky taste of gunpowder is awesome. It's perfect on burgers, steaks, or even straight from your hand. Everyone who tries it loves it. You will be amazed. Our gunpowder seasoning is the perfect simple way to kick your tailgate up a notch. Stop in and try it along with any of our other rubs and seasonings at the Grillworks. 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
Two Metro squads with high expectations collide in a Week 2 showdown this Friday on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hegarty, Jeff Moss, and me Friday at 7 as Class 4A number 9 Cedar Rapids Kennedy goes to Linmar to take on the Lions. The Cougars held off Jefferson in Week 1 action last Friday, but the Lions knocked off Dubuque Senior also at home. The winner of this one moves to an early 2-0 perch. That's high school football presented by Hills Bank, number 9 Kennedy at Linmar. Friday at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM KGYM.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, save up to $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Plus, get Rain-X glass cleaner for free. It's a deal so good, you've got to see it to believe it. That's a vision joke. And with up to $10 off Rain-X Latitude wipers plus free Rain-X glass cleaner, you'll be able to see almost everything. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 9/30/19.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
It's an NFL doubleheader on Sports USA. It's kickoff weekend, and we're headed to the Carolinas as Cam and the Panthers defend their turf against Goff, Gurley, and the Los Angeles Rams. Then, it's off to L.A. as the Indianapolis Colts now have Brissett in the saddle with Funchess and T.Y. Hilton by his side as they try to outduel veteran Phillip Rivers, sending it deep to Williams and Allen. Rams at the Panthers, then the Colts at the Chargers, this Sunday on Sports USA.
An opening Sunday NFL doubleheader at 11:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. KGYM.
And it's 5:04. We welcome you back in, or welcome you to the Todd Brawley Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Regardless of how you're joining us, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Radio and quality local programming, such as this show and the Gym Class, brought to you every day by Third Base Brewery. If you missed Scott and Mark earlier today, you can check out their podcast. It's available at KGYM Radio. com. He spoke with Chris Carlson, the play-by-play voice of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, as well as Chris Liss of RotoWire.com and Bowling Night America kicking off tonight as well. We can't leave that out. Scott and Mark are off to May City as we speak. Plenty more to get to on the program tonight. Keith Sargent, who covers Rutgers, is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. We will take a look at Iowa's Big Ten opening opponent this weekend. Yes, the Hawkeyes opening Big Ten play in the second week of the season. It's why we ask you tonight at KGYMradio.com, is it too early for a Big Ten football game? And I can tell that our listeners are in football mode because 100% of the responses so far have been no. It's never too early for a Big Ten football game. Ezekiel Elliott got paid today. We'll get to that and more coming up at 6 o'clock hour. Your chance to have your fantasy football questions asked and answered with the Sultan of Stat himself, ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. It's hard to believe, but we are just over 24 hours away from the kickoff to another NFL season, the 100th season in league history gets underway with the Bears and the Packers tomorrow night at Soldier Field. And a couple familiar names will be on the sidelines for the Bears and the Packers. Alan Lazard, who was cut by Green Bay last week, signed back to the Packers and elevated to the 53-man roster. I still think he's going to wind up playing a factor in Green Bay's offense at some point this season. And, of course, the much-anticipated arrival of David Montgomery in the Chicago backfield. Even though technically Tariq Cohen is still the starter there, David Montgomery, from reading as many tea leaves as I possibly can, as somebody who does have him on a fantasy football roster, it certainly sounds as if David Montgomery is going to play and play heavily tomorrow night in that Packers-Bears opener.
Yeah, he was brought in to do that. Tariq Cohen is a guy who you're not going to feed him. You're not going to get him 30 touches a game. You're going to get him 10 to 15. He's a smaller, speedier, shiftier guy, and you use him out of the backfield catching the football. You can run him between the tackles a little bit, but that's not his forte. David Montgomery is going to be the bell cow for this team, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm excited to see his first game. I think he could have one of those instant impact games where it just sort of gets everybody talking about him, not only in the NFL circles, but fantasy football circles as well.
I read a fantastic piece on David Montgomery last night, and I wish I could remember where it was. I think it may have been at NBC Sports Chicago, but one of the first phone conversations that David Montgomery had with Matt Nagy, his new head coach, after he was drafted, he asked Matt Nagy what he needed to do in order to make the team. And to me, that tells you everything you need to know about David Montgomery, because you're taken with one of the first 100 picks in the draft.
They traded up to get him, too.
It sort of goes without saying that you're going to be a major part of the team, and yet David Montgomery was concerned about what he needed to do in order to make the Bears roster. That's the type of work ethic that I think we could all strive for in our lives. And safe to say, David Montgomery has made the 53-man roster for the Bears. We'll have that game for you, by the way, coming up tomorrow night. And right now at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort in Riverside, you can get the Bears as a 3-point favorite at home over the Packers. A little bit of juice on that, as one would expect here in Eastern Iowa. I'm sure they're taking a ton of action on that game, both for Green Bay and for Chicago. WagerWise, a paid presentation of the Elite Sportsbook and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, coming up at 6 o'clock tonight here on KGYM. We need right now, though, two contestants for the 6 o'clock showdown. We have 7 questions in 60 seconds. If you can answer more than your opponent, you will be taking home a 4-pack of tickets to the Marcus Theaters. A very nice prize tonight. Who doesn't love heading out to a night at the movies? Maybe a family night out. Maybe you and the wife can split these up and have a couple date nights. Presumably you and the wife, not you and somebody else and the wife and somebody else. But I'm not going to judge. They're yours if you win them. 319-366-1600. Again, a 4-pack of tickets to the Marcus Theaters on the line tonight as we await our 5 o'clock face-off contestants. Keith Sargent of New Jersey Advanced Media set to join us at the bottom of the hour. Find out just exactly what type of football team Chris Ash is bringing home with him from Piscataway, New Jersey. We'll also hear from some of the Hawkeye players who were available to the media yesterday. Kyler Schott among them, Tyler Linderbaum, and others, and Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions tonight at 6:15. But it looks like we are locked and loaded, got our contestants ready to go. We've got Ray in Cedar Rapids with Alex and Brenton in Marion with my question. So Brenton knows how this works. We're going to remain silent, and Ray and Alex, you guys are going to figure out whether you'd like to go first or last.
And as always, I will ask Ray. What do you think, Ray?
Oh, Let's go first.
All right. We'll go first. Seven questions, 60 seconds. You don't know the answer. Say pass. We'll come back to it. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. These two teams will open the NFL's 100th season tomorrow night.
Green Bay, Chicago.
Correct. What former Colonel outfielder will be... Former Colonel's outfielder Jalen Davis will make his Major League debut tonight with this NL West team?
Diamondbacks.
Incorrect. What is the nickname of Iowa offensive lineman Kyler Schott?
Shooter.
What was the final score of last week's Iowa State UNI game?
29-26.
How many no-hitters has Houston's Justin Verlander thrown in his career?
Three.
Nebraska plays this former Big 12 rival on the road this weekend.
Colorado.
Last night, the Nationals scored seven runs in the bottom of the ninth to beat this team.
Phillies.
Former Colonels outfielder Jalen Davis will make his Major League debut with this NL West team.
Dodgers?
Five is a really solid number. Brenton knows exactly what he's up against here, but I've got faith, Brent, and I think we can pull this off. Same deal, seven questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass, and we'll try to come back around to it if there's time left. Okay, are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, how many weeks is Iowa left tackle Alaric Jackson expected to miss with a sprained knee?
4-6.
Who is UNI's opponent this week?
South Utah.
To you, Florida State coach Willie Taggart blamed what for his team's loss to Boise State Saturday?
Dehydration.
Which Cubs player returned from a four-month absence last night?
Ben Zobrist.
Which two NFL players have received record contracts for their positions in the last 24 hours?
Zeke Elliott and Pat.
The Iowa football team has five former U.S. Army All-Americans on the roster. Name three of them.
Pass.
How many Big Ten teams are in this week's AP Top 25? 4, 5, 6, or 7?
Five.
Good shot at it, Brenton. 5-3 is the final score tonight. As always, appreciate you listening and picking up the phone. And Ray, hang tight. Congratulations on the win. Kyle is going to get your information, and we'll be sending you a four-pack of passes to the Marcus Theater Group. Thought we were going to be in for a tie there for a while because Brenton was picking up steam. How many weeks is Iowa left tackle Alaric Jackson expected to miss with a knee sprain? This one's a little tricky. He's expected to miss two games, and then Iowa has a bye week, and they're hoping to get him back for Middle Tennessee State. So two games, maybe 3 weeks. Which two NFL players received record contracts for their respective positions in the last 24 hours? He got Ezekiel Elliott at the running back position. Jared Goff got paid, and paid well, by the Los Angeles Rams. The Iowa football team has five former U.S. Army All-Americans on the roster, looking for three of them. A.J. Epinesa would have been a good start. Tristan Wirfs, Tyler Linderbaum, Oliver Martin, and Justin Jacobs. And there were six Big Ten teams in this week's AP Top 25, including the Iowa Hawkeyes. They remained ranked in both the AP and the coaches poll this week. I believe 20 in the AP and 19 in the coaches poll.
Ray, the only two questions that he missed, former Colonels outfielder Jalen Davis is making his Major League debut tonight with the San Francisco Giants, as you had mentioned earlier. And also in Major League Baseball, the Nationals scored seven runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to beat the New York Mets.
Thought maybe they were in for another comeback win against the Mets today. Logged into the Elite Sportsbook mobile site and jumped in about the sixth inning. Ultimately, was not the case. The Mets held off the Nationals today for, I believe it was an 8-4 victory at Nationals Park. Plenty of baseball on tap tonight. Twins and Red Sox, will have them for you on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Minnesota turning a bullpen day yesterday with Randy Dobnak drawing the start. They bullpened their way to a victory over the Red Sox at Fenway Park. We'll see whether or not they can make it two straight against the Red Sox tonight. Cubs are off tonight after sweeping the Seattle Mariners out of Wrigley Field. If only you could play the Mariners every single game, things would be looking up for the Cubs. But Ben Zobrist back as one of the questions you put on your sheet here. 4 months away from the game of baseball, and Ben Zobrist is back with the Cubs and making an impact almost immediately with them. That's a really difficult situation, going through a divorce and trying to focus on his kids and his family. And he said that he didn't want to be with the team if he couldn't be 100% all in. And I appreciate that mentality. His absence was unpaid. It also helped the Cubs scrape together enough pennies in the couch cushions to pursue Craig Kimbrell. But now he's refocused, he's all in, and he's back with the team as the Cubs continue to have a pretty good grasp on that second National League wild card. Players are coming up right and left across Major League Baseball. We mentioned Jaylen Davis, the former Colonels outfielder, set to make his debut tonight with the San Francisco Giants. One player who is not on his way to the major leagues, Luis Robert, the outfielder in the White Sox organization, the top prospect in the White Sox organization now, and USA Today's Minor League Player of the Year. But the White Sox are not calling him up from AAA for the final month of the season. Wonder why that could be.
Are you suggesting that the service time may be in play?
It's so ridiculous, and it's something that I think that they will have to address the next time, the next round of collective bargaining, because you're not doing these young guys any favors, and you're not doing your fans any favors. And you think the White Sox, I know the White Sox aren't going anywhere right now in the standings, but you don't think maybe you bring some of these guys up? Nick Madrigal, their first-round draft pick last year, is also going to remain in the minor leagues over the final month of the season. You'd sell some tickets. You'd get these guys some experience at the big league level, and maybe you'd get a little bit of a jump start on the 2020 season. They better contend next season, the White Sox. Otherwise, I'd be a little worried if I were Rick Hahn, the general manager.
They need some pitching badly, and they have so much talent and so much young talent not to contend next year or in the very near future. And I would love to see Luis Robert in the major leagues for at least giving your fans something to see in September. But right now, it's hard for me to blame the teams for doing this, because in order to contend and in order to hold on to some of your players for a little bit longer, you have to do this. But yes, this is something that must be addressed in the collective bargaining, the next round of collective bargaining, and changed and fixed.
Luis Robert's manager in Birmingham this year, before his promotion to AAA, was Omar Vizquel, and he compared him, both from a power and speed standpoint, to one of his former teammates in Seattle when Omar Vizquel came up to the majors and made his debut in the late 80s, Ken Griffey Jr. That's a pretty solid comparison.
Wow.
But hey, leave him in the minor leagues, which, by the way, the minor league season is over. The regular season coming to an end on Monday, just the playoffs remain. The Colonels, as we mentioned, are in the Midwest League playoffs. They're kicking off the best of three series, Midwest League Western Division semifinal series tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium against the Quad Cities River Bandits. They won 9 and lost 7 against the Bandits during the regular season. Gates are about to open in 10 minutes. 6:35 first pitch at the ballpark tonight. Luis Rijo on the mound for the Colonels. And they will play Game 2 tomorrow night in Davenport, and Game 3, if necessary, in Davenport as well on Friday night. So that means this could be your last chance to see the Colonels in action this season. And we wish Brian Dinkelman and the Colonels all the best as they get ready to take on the Bandits tonight.
Todd, I'm calling a 30-second timeout here. Is 9048 correct in saying that Zobrist kept his walk-up song?
That is what I read on Twitter
last night.
He kept his now ex-wife's terrible version of Benny and the Jets as his walk-up song.
That
was the one thing that everybody thought was going to be good to come of this, was not only the Craig Kimbrell signing, but Ben Zobrist would have a new walk-up song, but that is not the case. Maybe he's superstitious. I don't know. Look, if my ex-wife sang my walk-up music, my walk-up song, I think I would be changing it immediately upon returning to the team, but
because it's horrible. B, because the woman who is singing the song caused you to miss 4 months of your career in the middle of the freaking season. Ben, please, please change your walk-up song for all of us.
Of course.
Please.
Of course, referencing Iowa City High alum Juliana Zobrist, nay, Gilmore. I don't know whether she's taken her maiden name back or not, but an unfortunate situation there. I don't think Ben Zobrist is going to be what it takes to get the Cubs over the hump. And I know people are in football season mode right now, but it's a three-hour show, and we got a lot of ground to cover, and we can sprinkle a little baseball in here and there. The Cubs, they trotted out a really bad lineup last night, and luckily for them, they were playing a really bad team in Seattle. Didn't have any problems with them, and I'm sure we'll chat with Jack Dom, Mount Mercy's baseball coach, coming up on Friday. Again, he was in Chicago over the weekend. His college roommate at Creighton, Scott Service, the manager of the Seattle Mariners. We're going to be out and about tomorrow at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Excited about this, to once again be back at Mulligan's for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You can hang out with us. We'll do the show from 4 until 7. Happy Hour actually starts at 3 o'clock each day at Mulligan's, runs until 6. And on Thursday, Half Price Wings from 6 until close. We'll talk with author John U. Bacon on the program tomorrow. He's got a brand new book out about Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. We'll also preview the opener of the 100th season of the National Football League, the Bears and the Packers from Soldier Field. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette is going to be on the program with us tomorrow. We're efforting a Bears perspective also on the program. That's all coming up for you tomorrow at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Very easy to find Mulligan's from Interstate 380. Take the 42nd Street exit and head east until you can't head east anymore. It is eventually going to tee out with Old Marion Road. You take a left-hand turn, and your second left will put you in the parking lot of Mulligan's. At Mulligan's, you've always got a shot at a better day. Again, looking forward to being there again tomorrow. The next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We'll take a quick timeout. When we return, Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then we'll learn as much as we can about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights from Keith Sargent, the Scarlet Knights beat writer, one of them at the New Jersey Advanced Media Group. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Back with more after this.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com.
If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Get ready, Solon. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
Hey, it's Chris Atterbury. The Minnesota Twins looking to make it two in a row at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. They'll hand the ball to Jose Barrios. He'll be opposed by left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez. It's right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. 528, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM. You can also catch us on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Keep in mind that we are doing a little bit of home improvement, if you will, on the 107.5 FM tower, so you may be without us here and there. If you turn on 107.5 FM and you don't hear anything, give us a shot on 1600 AM, or if you're heading south, you can pick up 106.3 FM. We do hope that any interruption in the signal on 107.5 FM is brief and doesn't affect your day all that much. If you miss us terribly, you can always head on over to kgymradio.com and pull up the podcast. We post those every night after the show is over. kgymradio.com is also where you can go to vote in today's poll question. Is it too early for a Big Ten football game? Yes or no? The Hawkeyes will open Big Ten play Saturday at home, 11 a.m. against Rutgers. Keith Sargent joining us momentarily to preview that game. But first, three times a day on the program, we bring you a big board update, a look at what's going on in the Eastern Iowa sports scene with our producer, Kyle Mann. They're brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them in Iowa City on 420th Street, or check out the Answers by Alexander interior showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The NFL season kicks off tomorrow with the Bears and Packers, and there's going to be a handful of players set to be on the field, and including former Cyclone David Montgomery with Chicago. But in the final minutes of yesterday's show, we learned that former Cyclone Alan Lazard will also be in uniform tomorrow night, as he's been promoted to Green Bay's 53-man roster. He was actually cut over the weekend, but immediately signed to the practice squad. And then after a couple injuries, including one to a pass catcher, he's now set to make his regular season NFL debut. Former Iowa State guard Lindell Wigginton also took another step towards becoming a professional today, as the Minnesota Timberwolves announced they've signed him to an Exhibit 10 contract. That now makes 9 former Cyclones with NBA contracts. Cedar Rapids Xavier graduate Mitch Keller broke into the major leagues with the Pirates this season, but last night had a scary moment when he was drilled by a line drive that struck the wrist of his throwing hand. The ball left the bat at a velocity of 105 miles per hour, but miraculously, Keller appears to have avoided anything too serious. Reports are that he played catch today, and there's at least a slight chance he throws his scheduled bullpen and goes on to make his next start. The Colonels will have their first game of the Midwest League playoffs set for tonight, hosting Quad Cities. The Colonels will throw Luis Rio out there tonight and would like to capitalize here at home, as Game 2 tomorrow and a potential Game 3 on Friday would both be on the road. The team did take 2 of 3 from the River Bandits just last week, so they'll try to do the same tonight, starting in about an hour. Tonight, after the show, we'll pick up the Twins and Red Sox in progress from Boston. The Twins have pulled back out to a 6.5-game lead in the Central, and you can hear them try to extend it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Brusdar, Gratterall looking pretty good. Pretty good in his first couple appearances in the major leagues with the Twins. They'll have a decision to make with regard to stretching him out next season and keeping him as a starter, or leaving him in the bullpen where he has the stuff to be an absolute dominating force in high leverage situations. Me personally, as long as the changeup is there as a number three pitch, I'm leaving him in the starting rotation as long as I possibly can. Twins and Red Sox, as Kyle mentioned, coming your way tonight. And best of luck, as we mentioned, going out to the Cedar Rapids Colonels as they kick off the Midwest League playoffs. Hard to believe they've made the playoffs every single season they've been affiliated with the Minnesota Twins. I believe this is the seventh year in a row that they've made the playoffs and, again, taken on the Quad Cities River Bandits. Quad Cities has a familiar name in its lineup to baseball fans, especially fans of a certain age. Gray Kessinger is the grandson of former big leaguer Don Kessinger. He's a high pick for the Astros in this year's recent draft. You can get to see him tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium on what could be the final baseball game in Cedar Rapids this year. It is already time for Big Ten football. As we mentioned, the poll question today at KGYMradio.com, is it too early for a Big Ten football game? And most of our listeners are saying no, absolutely not. But it's a Big Ten football game that's maybe not going to feel like a Big Ten football game because, well, we don't really know a whole lot about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. We've never seen them at Kinnick Stadium before as a member of the Big Ten. Well, Keith Sargent is with us. He's seen he's seen a lot of Rutgers football over the years. Keith, what are we in for Saturday as Rutgers makes its maiden voyage into Iowa City?
Yeah, it's just, if I was to weigh in on that vote, I think, you know, I'm interested to see what this Rutgers team is all about. A year ago, a similar situation. They played a non-power five opponent week one. They beat Texas State convincingly. Same thing, this season they beat UMass relatively convincingly. They had to rally, but they beat them by four touchdowns. You know, and then week two a year ago they played against Ohio State. Really had no chance. You know, playing against the best team in the Big Ten probably at that point. Now they play Iowa, kind of a litmus test, one of those types of games where I don't think Rutgers is going to be dominated from an athletic standpoint, but, Iowa's offensive and defensive lines are probably superior. So going to be one of those types of games where we're going to see what Rutgers is all about.
How would you grade the first contest? Of course, they get out to that 14-0 deficit, and then UMass has a 21-7 lead early, and then Rutgers really took over behind McLean Carter in his first start.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, if you talk to the coaches, they would say that part of it was first game jitters, part of it was a new quarterback, fifth year senior, but a guy who really didn't win the starting job until late in camp, didn't really have that much of a rapport with the starting offense. Things had to settle down. UMass, to their credit, I think they were gutsy with their play calling, jumped on top, took advantage of some pretty good field position. Once Rutgers settled down in the game, their talent, I mean, they had so much more talent from athletic standpoint, and, they were more dominant on the lines that took over. And, once they were able to settle down, I think, Rutgers was the far better team.
How important is this season for Chris Ash, and how important is it for Rutgers to get off to a strong start this year in the Big Ten?
Very important. The AD, when you're coming off a 1-11 season, when you're in year four, and when the AD had to issue a vote of confidence at season's end, everyone knows it's going to be a big year. Chris Ash is aware of that. The AD, Pat Hobbs, at the end of last season, the key line that everyone took away was he said that Rutgers would have to show significant improvement. Now, Pat Hobbs has still not defined what significant improvement is as far as the win total, but if they're not contending for a bowl game this season, if they're not more competitive, I think they really want to see, the lopsided scores go away. It's a big year. It's a big year just from a standpoint of making, showing a little progress. They have Rutgers as a program hasn't been to a bowl game since 2014. And Chris Ash is aware of that as much as anyone.
What is the future of Art Sitkowski at Rutgers right now sort of up in the air? The guy who started as a true freshman last year had a really, really tough year, and now McLean Carter is the starter for this program?
Well, keep in mind, Art was a guy who had, 20, 25 offers coming out of high school. He was a Miami commit, coming out of, and then he committed and ended up signing with Rutgers ultimately. Very talented guy. He was forced into a untenable situation, 17 years old, a quarterback that didn't really have a ton of starting experience even on the high school level. And thrown into a system in which, the offensive line struggled, they were young at wide receiver. If you look back on it, he struggled. There's no question about it. 18 interceptions was a nation high, but ultimately, if you talk, and I asked Sean McNulty, the offensive coordinator, about it. And, he said, this might be the best thing for him. He's able to settle down a little bit, get another year of experience. A lot of fans, media, too, like to focus on the here and now. But, there have been plenty of quarterbacks who have taken a red shirt, midway through their career and benefited from it. So that's the hope, for Rutgers fans. But I don't think he's going to be handed the job, next season either.
Keith Sargent with us of the Newark Star-Ledger. You can read all his Rutgers coverage at nj.com. What can you tell us about Bo Melton? He had a big game against UMass in week one. We'll see him in the passing game, presumably Saturday in Iowa City.
Yes, a very talented guy, one of the more talented guys, just based on star rankings and offers coming out of high school. His father was a really solid player back in the 1980s. Rutgers fans have been waiting for that moment. Quite frankly, there was a lot of drops and inability to get separation that kind of plagued Bo Melton. No one questioned his talent. And, I think, Chris Ashby asked him about it, and he said it's a tribute to his, work ethic. And, the way he, basically right at the end of last season, right from the first week of the offseason, dedicated himself to getting stronger and finding out his weaknesses. And, you saw a payoff because I think there was one play early in that game against UMass. He had a long touchdown that was a highlight reel play, but the one play that stands out that kind of let everything settle down was a 4th-and-2 play. Caught it in traffic, hung on to the ball, gave Rutgers the first down. They ended up scoring on that drive. That was the play that kind of, I think was the breakout moment for Bo Melton.
Watching a little of that game, couldn't have been more impressed with Isaiah Pacheco. And then Raheem Blackshear is the returning leading rusher from last year, but he's sort of a hybrid running back. They use him in the passing game as well. Is there a hope that for Chris Ash that they have at least a competent 1-2 punch in the backfield right now?
Well, I talked to Kirk Ferentz about it yesterday, and he said, quite frankly, those two guys could play on any Big Ten team. They're so versatile. They're a good 1-2 punch. Both of them have different skill sets. Blackshear in particular, you can do a lot of things with him out of the backfield. First Rutgers player in 30 years to lead the team in both rushing and receiving a year ago. Pacheco, I went into this season thinking that, this was the guy that they're going to lean on. The first game was kind of proved that. I think he's going to be more or less a bell cow in the backfield, but it is a backfield by committee. John McNulty does like to spread the wealth a little bit. But we saw in week one, both of them got 21 touches. Blackshear, a few of his targets were in the past game. But those are the two best offensive players. It's not even close. Those are the two guys that, Iowa is circling in its game plan.
This is essentially a homecoming for Chris Ash. He's got a lot of ties to the Hawkeye State. What did he say? What did he tell you guys about his thoughts on coming home to Iowa?
Chris Ash, anyone that knows Chris Ash at this point, he's not exactly a sentimental type coach. I did ask him two questions. The best I could get out of him was that he was an Iowa fan growing up. He lived, although he ended up working in his coaching career at Iowa State and Drake, and he went to Drake. He grew up as an Iowa Hawkeye fan. But as far as getting any type of homecoming feel, he's has said it's a business trip. He's not going to make any detours over to his hometown, which is like an hour away. So I think that storyline he's not going to bite on that one.
Now, McLean Carter threw for 340 yards in the first game, but how much more is he going to have to take care of the ball if Rutgers has a chance in this game on Saturday?
I mean, he has said all the right things. John McNulty, the offensive coordinator, for his part, blamed himself for play calling, specifically for two of the three interceptions. It's going to happen. I mean, the difference in the number of interceptions that Art Stachowski had compared to what McLean Carter had in the opener was, McLean Carter threw for 340 yards and threw for two touchdowns, and he made plays. He completed 67% of his passes overall. Interceptions are going to happen when you're throwing the ball. John McNulty knows that. They can live with it, especially if it happens on third down, because you're essentially just trying to make a play, and you're probably going to punt the ball anyway if you don't make the play. So you can live with that. But you're right. I mean, turning the ball over, in general, Rutgers is a team that's not going to win it, if it doesn't win the field position battle. McLean Carter has talked about it. The interesting thing is it's a road game. He played some road games a year ago at Texas Tech. One of the more hostile environments was at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium against Baylor. He played pretty well. So, that's going to be the biggest challenge for him, in my opinion, how he deals with, the fans at Iowa.
Keith Sargent of the Newark Star-Ledger. Again, you can read all about Rutgers at NJ.com. We appreciate the time, Keith, and travel safe if you're heading our way. We'll see you Saturday morning.
I'll be there. Thanks, guys.
Rutgers. Big Ten football. Early September. None of this makes sense. You try explaining this to me if we were to hop into a time machine and go back in time 10 years ago, I'd say, there's rumors that Nebraska's joining the Big Ten, but Rutgers? No, I can't see it. I mean, they had a good season a couple years ago with that Ray Rice guy, who's a star in the NFL and probably will be around for a really long time, but Rutgers and the Big Ten? No, I just can't see it. And here we are, September 4th, 2019, previewing a Big Ten opener against Rutgers. Iowa's a 20.5-point favorite at the moment in Riverside at the Elite Sportsbook. I would be tempted to take Iowa to cover that number. I think they're going to have to fight for it, much like they did against Miami last week. But I think Iowa is three touchdowns better than Rutgers. The question is, would they be three touchdowns better than Rutgers at the end of the game on Saturday? And I don't know that for certain, so I can't say that this is a mortal lock of the year or anything like that. I think Iowa is the better team, but the last time we saw these two teams play one another, granted it was a road game, and you take Iowa out of Kinnick Stadium and things get a little bit tougher for them, but it was a couple years ago and
2016.
Eked out a 14-7 win.
That was a bad omen that year. I remember that game very well.
Didn't they play two or three games where it was 14-7? There were some really low-scoring, ugly football games in 2016, and that's how you wind up in the Pinstripe Bowl.
That 2016 year, it was, I believe, C.J. Beathard, or no, that would have been 2017. Gosh, No, it was 2016. So that was the game after they lost to North Dakota State. They go on the road, and everybody, we're all saying, oh, great. Bounce back time against Rutgers. This is where the offense gets things on track, and they take their season back going into Big Ten play. Now, they won the game, but I believe that Rutgers that very next week played Michigan and didn't get a first down until the fourth quarter.
Didn't they get beat like 78-0?
Yes, correct. Okay. 78-0. Well, they lost, 58-0 the next week against Ohio State, then 78-0 to Michigan.
Yeah,
that next week after that.
And they did play two games where the final score was 14-7 that year. They beat Rutgers 14-7, and they beat Minnesota a couple weeks later 14-7 as well. It was a rough season for the Hawkeyes, highlighted by a 14-13 win over Michigan at Kinnick Stadium, and you wind up getting waxed by Florida in the Outback Bowl to wrap things up. I got to admit, and maybe it has something to do with the Labor Day holiday and shortening the week, and I've been discombobulated all week long, but then you throw on top of this Rutgers and having to discuss this as a Big Ten football game, it's just none of this seems right. None of this seems right.
Is it causing a fog for you?
Well,
because I feel a fog, and I have the last couple of days.
I know people are almost 100%. Well, the last two times we've checked the results of the poll question at KGYMradio.com, is it too early for Big Ten football? The response has been 100% no. And I know back in the 70s, Iowa occasionally opened with a Big Ten game, and they're going to open week one in a couple years against Indiana, which then we can really talk, if we're still on the air here, whether it's too early for a Big Ten football game or not. But this just has the feel, and I know I've said this a couple times this week, of the old 8-game conference schedule, where this is essentially another non-conference game where the opponent's just a little bit tougher. It's going to sharpen you up, hopefully, for Iowa State in week three, and then you play Middle Tennessee State, and then you begin Big Ten play. But it's technically not going to work out that way. This is going to be a win or a loss in Big Ten play right out of the gates for the Hawkeyes, and they know that. Rutgers knows that. There's a lot on the line. Should there be this much on the line in early September, or should you ease your way into conference play? I think I know which way I would choose. I know after hearing Kirk Ferentz yesterday in Iowa City, I know what he would say. I think he would say, well, he did say, non-conference, 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 conference games. That's how he would do it if he were in charge of making the schedule, but he doesn't have as much say in it as some people believe that he does. This is an 11 a.m. kickoff, a Big Ten football game, made for TV extravaganza, and more power to you if you can make it all the way from kickoff to time expiring. And I, quite frankly, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Maybe a handful of caffeine pills or something. I just can't get excited about Rutgers. They look better this year than they did a year ago.
That's not saying much.
No. And they've got some intriguing players here. I don't know whether Iowa knows a whole lot about them. You mentioned the quarterback situation. We come into the season thinking it's going to be Art Sitkowski, and it's not in week one. They get off to a terribly slow start last week against UMass and then wind up rolling and taking care of business. Maybe this is a scary game for the Hawkeyes. I don't know.
I don't think it's a scary game, but I think you put it best that you look at that line of 21 points, and if Art Sitkowski was starting the game for Rutgers, I would be running to the Elite Sportsbook right now at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and putting money down on Iowa. But now, after seeing the way that they played with the Texas Tech transfer McLean Carter and knowing that they have an experienced quarterback in there and at least some skill position players, some kind of firepower on offense, I think Iowa will cover, but I'm not nearly as sure. So that's the excitement for this game.
I can tell you one thing. AJ Epenesa is not going to be held to 1.5 tackles this weekend. I would be stunned if he isn't a little bit more disruptive. And again, if you want to criticize Epenesa, go back and watch the film, and you can see what Miami did to neutralize him and frustrate him. And even though they were double-teaming him and even though they were chipping him, he still made his presence felt on the field. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from a player who made a name for himself last weekend on the field in Iowa City, the pride of North Lynn High School, Kyler Schott, when we return after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
Kevin Harlan here from Westwood One, inviting you to join us for the kickoff of the NFL's 100th season with a matchup between two of the oldest and most storied franchises. It's the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and I will have all the action from Chicago's Soldier Field. Don't miss a single second and hear the NFL all season long from Westwood One.
The NFL season kicks off with the Bears hosting the Packers Thursday night at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
Are you experiencing anxiety?
Am I going crazy?
Intense cravings? Ah! Delirium? If so, you may be experiencing football withdrawal.
Oh, thank goodness.
Clinical studies suggest a heavy dose of face painting, screaming at the top of your lungs. Woo! And setting your radio dial right here on the Panthers Sports Network.
Saturday, the Panthers host Southern Utah. Coverage begins at 3 o'clock on the gym. 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
And the Bears, a three-point favorite over the Packers tomorrow night at Soldier Field, according to our friends in Riverside. You'll hear WagerWise coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, a paid presentation courtesy of Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Elite Sportsbook. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will kick off the 6 o'clock hour, answering your fantasy football questions at 6:15 tonight. Get those questions to us now if you'd like to go to the front of the line, 319-366-1600. We promised we'd bring you a little player audio from Iowa City yesterday. A lot of folks have been talking about Kyler Schott locally and nationally. He caught the attention of former Notre Dame lineman Mike Golic Jr. Kyler Schott, a walk-on from North Lynn High School. Alex describes him as nasty, right?
Yes.
You think he can play a long-term role on that offensive line?
Absolutely. He may be a long-term answer as a starting guard before it's all said and done.
Here's Kyler Schott introducing himself to the media and giving a little bit of insight into how he got the nickname Shooter.
I saw Epinesa say after the game, he's impressed with your demeanor, acting like you've been there before. Why wasn't this thing too big for you when you went in there for the first time?
I was just trying to focus on the 22 guys that were on the field. I was trying to keep everything else out of it and just have fun.
What's it like kind of game one? You know you're a backup, so mm-hmm. You know the only way you're probably going is if it's a blowout or somebody gets injured. What's it like getting thrown in there because Alaric, you know, gets injured right off the bat?
I think I was kind of ready for the situation. The coaches are always talking about next man up if someone goes down. So I was ready for when it happened, and unfortunately it did happen, but I took advantage of it, and I think I did an all right job.
When you came here, I mean, did you envision this, or were there kind of, you know, like, maybe, I don't want to say doubts, but mm-hmm. thoughts maybe that you might never see the field?
I always believed in myself. I'm sure there's some people that didn't think I could do it, but I'm here now, and I am getting some playing time, and it's fun to be out there.
How do you describe yourself as a player? What are your attributes that you bring?
I like to think I'm one of the more physical guys out there when I'm playing on the field. I'm a little shorter, but I get that extra leverage on people, and I like to be physical.
I saw a couple plays where you were driving a linebacker 10, 15 yards past the line. I mean, is that kind of your forte? You know, just you're going till they tell you to stop?
Play to the whistle, just like all the coaches are always saying, play to the whistle, and that's what I did.
Where does that come from? Because you were doing that in high school, too.
I just like making highlight tapes, I guess. I don't know. I just felt like he was going over, so I kept running him.
What do you focus on week two, knowing that now you're going to probably be the starter, at least in it?
Just every day of practice, I'm working on getting better, working for this next week.
You study anymore? Do you change kind of the way you prepare?
I was studying really hard before for week one, even though I wasn't planned on being the starter, so I'm doing the same exact thing. I'm ready to go.
What's up with Jack Black and Shooter?
Shooter? Jack Black, I wasn't the best looking guy. I had short hair and I had a trimmed up beard when I first got here, so everyone thought I looked like Jack Black. And then Shooter, the O-line coach when I first got here kept calling me Shoot because he thought that was my last name instead of Shot. And then he just started calling me Shooter and it stuck. Now everyone calls me Shooter here.
And I have a feeling they will definitely know his name by the time kickoff rolls around Saturday morning when he plays his second game as a Hawkeye. Every season seems to have at least one great walk-on story, and Kyler Schott is at least the first of what could be many this year for Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes, again listed as a starter on the offensive line with Alaric Jackson sidelined for at least the next two games. Then the Hawkeyes have a bye week before the final non-conference game against Middle Tennessee State. So hopefully we see Jackson back on the field in October. But in the meantime, Cody Ince, Kyler Schott, they've got some guys on the offensive line that were able to work their way into the mix. And it appears there's a decent amount of depth for Tim Polasek and Brian Ferentz to work with on the offensive side of the ball. We will take a quick timeout. When we return, your fantasy football questions for Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, brought to you by Imon Communications. You can send them to us now, 319-366-1600. Ask and they shall be answered next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Live coverage of quarterfinals action at the U.S. Open underway on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. Among the primetime matches, Rafael Nadal versus Diego Schwartzman. With Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic out of the tournament, Nadal is the only major champion left. On the men's side, that winner will take on Matteo Berrettini in the semis. Berrettini advanced by beating Gael Monfils in a match that lasted 3 hours and 57 minutes earlier today. An admission from Ezekiel Elliott following his first practice and signing a 6-year, $90 million extension with the Cowboys. He told reporters it was important for him to be the highest paid running back in the NFL because he believes he's the best. Today marked Elliott's first on-field workout with the team since June's minicamp. With all the time he's missed, Elliott won't likely see his usual workload in Sunday's season opener, believes ESPN's Marcus Spears.
I expect him to play 20 to 25 plays. I know the happiest person on earth right now is Kellen Moore. You know how easy his game plan just got? Trying to formulate things to maybe hide Tony Pollard and not force him in the uncomfortable position. When 21 show up, it's like, all right, let's open the whole thing up. He's here for install. We're gonna have him get touches in practice.
Marcus Spears on Golic and Wingo. Raiders receiver Antonio Brown took to Instagram to react to a letter from the team, which informed him they were fining him $54,000 for missing time during training camp. Brown said, in part, everyone got to pay this year, so we clear. The letter from GM Mike Mayock also warned AB of future fines if he misses more mandatory team activities.
The New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. The rivalry continues this weekend. Coverage begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern and Sunday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-285-4954. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-285-4954. 800-285-4954.
KGYM is here to cover everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. This is WagerWise, sponsored by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. KGYM is here to cover everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. This is WagerWise, sponsored by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
And we welcome you back in for another edition of WagerWise, brought to you by the Elite Sportsbook inside the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. With us once again, we've got Jake from Riverside and Jay Rude, the senior manager of BetWorks. And Jake, I want to start with you. How was the first weekend of college football at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside? How much fun did you guys have?
Oh, we had a ton of fun watching some of the games. One of my favorites was UNI Iowa State game. That got people going pretty good. A lot of bets placed on that game. We had all the TVs on in there. It was actually super packed, and it was a fun scene to be a part of. And I look forward to the coming weekends, especially 2 weekends from now, and see how many people we can get in there and having fun.
Had to have been a pretty interesting fourth quarter there for you guys as well, because that game was sitting right on the number for most of the final 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was looking like they weren't going to cover, and I mean, they didn't cover, but it was looking like they were going to lose to UNI, and they pulled. UNI was doing really good, but they pulled through.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at Iowa and Rutgers this weekend with Jay. 20.5 points for the Hawkeyes, a very early Big Ten opener. What do you think about this one?
This is a game that Iowa. They struggled a little bit early in the opener, and I look for them to, probably have a little bit of a more intense practice this week. Coming out 20.5, ticket count right now obviously is about 2-1 in favor of Iowa. The money is following that trend at right about 2-1 as well. So I think this is going to be a very significant game on the board for the Elite Sportsbook. Especially at Riverside, being so close to the college, it's going to be a significant game for them. We'll see how it plays out. Everyone's been backing Iowa quite a bit on this progressive parlay promo that we've been running running there as well, is that you can bet we have every Iowa game up for the season with point spread already. So you can go bet the whole season.
Jay, we'll get into some other games, but how kind of wild was this first week with a lot of teams who were heavy favorites really not playing very well in week one?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is kind of, you know, the version of preseason for the college, and that's why, you know, some of these bigger teams are expected to contend, you know, late and be there looking to get in the playoffs late in the year. You know, they do schedule some easier opponents because the coaches do know that, you know, they've got freshmen that are coming in and, you know, players in new positions. So, you know, a lot of times, these point spreads can be a little tricky early on. And I've always said, you know, that's the advantage a player has over the bookmaker, is that they get to pick and choose the spots that they want to invest their money in. I have to put up a number on every game. And obviously, we do the best we can. We use the statistics and the power rankings that we have that, you know, a lot of them are carryovers from last year and have some influence that maybe or maybe not is true to form of the team that is taking the field that week. So, you know, I think Iowa State, there was some really, really high expectations for them. I think there still is, but, you know, obviously Northern Iowa came out and played a really good game against them and made it interesting. I mean, even, you know, Minnesota opening up against the Jackrabbits up in, you know, the northern part of the state, that was a very interesting game. We had quite a few people on the EliteSportsbook.com app backing the Jackrabbits on the money line in that particular game. You know, close to 6 and 7 to 1. I think they drove it all the way down to 450 at one point. So, yeah, you know, the first week is always, first couple of weeks actually can be a little, helter skelter when it comes to the point spread.
I know one of those teams that struggled, a lot of people are in this area interested in, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Now they go on the road after struggling with South Alabama. They're about a 3.5-4 point favorite against their old rival Colorado. What do you see in this one?
Yeah, you know, this one, we've seen quite a bit of support for Nebraska in the futures market. And, you know, obviously with the coaching change a couple of years ago, with Scott Frost coming in and taking the job there, I believe, you know, we're going to continue to see Nebraska get supported well. Colorado, their team has seen better years, over the last few years. But they are on the improve this year a little bit. But this particular game, we're seeing it, you know, go from 3.5. We're currently at 4.5 on this game. I think this game is going to continue to run. Wouldn't surprise me to see this game close, you know, in the neighborhood of 6 or 6.5, based off of a little bit of regional bias there in Iowa on this game.
You're listening to WagerWise, presented by Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Elite Sportsbook, located inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside. Jay Rood, the senior senior risk manager at BetWorks, and Jake Reed, the sportsbook manager at Riverside. Jay, I'm looking at the Elite mobile app right now. A&M and Clemson this week. Number one, Clemson, 18 points favored in this one. You got to try to get interest in these games. You got to throw a lot of points out there on a team like Clemson to try to get interest on both sides, it seems.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I mean, we were. I'm surprised by the number of really big spreads that there are this week in the second week. A&M, you know, it's Jimbo Fisher, and he's, going to get that squad going in the right direction. They came out, they played a good game against a very weak opponent last week. Clemson did the same. Obviously Clemson at home is a very, very tough proposition for any team to go in there and get the win. This game right here, it's open 17. It's up to 17.5. We're at 18. I think this game's going to continue to float up a little bit. This will probably go to 19. I think, a lot of the public is going to want to back Clemson. Just unfortunately, A&M doesn't have the brand or the caliber of athlete right now, I think, to necessarily make this a really exciting game. But I think it could definitely be right around the number.
Another college game that is going to draw a lot of interest, Texas and LSU, two teams with all kinds of expectations and two teams that are sort of dark horses to win their conference.
Yeah, and this game is definitely on the run already. This game opened, I know, 3.5 some places, and we are at 5.5. There's some sixes out there. There's a 6.5 that I'm seeing from my locale here in Vegas and Jersey. So this game's definitely on the move. A lot of people are expecting a lot of things out of Joe Burrow and the LSU offense. But you can't forget about Sam Ellinger at Texas. I think a lot of people are expecting Texas to be maybe undefeated when they come visit Iowa State. That could be a really crucial game in the Big 12 when Texas comes to Iowa State. But in this game, a lot of people are expecting the Tigers to really take it to the Longhorns. So right now, it's all one-sided. Basically, ticket count is everything to zero, pretty much. We have not seen a bet on Texas yet. I think that'll change a little bit. I think people understand the rivalry and the power of the point spread, too. I mean, 5.5 points at home with Texas and the crowd they have and the kind of season they're expecting, it's going to be a great game. I think that's probably the game of the week to watch.
Jake, I can't imagine a better NFL game to kick off things in the Elite Sports Book than the Bears and the Packers. That's what we've got to look forward to tomorrow. Are you expecting a big crowd?
I think we will get the NFL weekend kicking off. I think that a lot of people are excited, just like college football weekend. We had a lot of people coming down, multiple new signups based on just the college weekend. I think NFL coming up, it's going to increase those. I think it's going to really take off into the big season. I mean, around here we have a lot of football fans. I think we'll see a big increase in the traffic through the casino.
Well, Jay, what do you think? Green Bay getting 3 points at Soldier Field tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen so far in the betting market is that the money coming in on the Bears is about 2-1 in favor of them. Tickets is a little over 2-1 in favor of them. And I'm imagining there's going to be quite a few people very interested in this game because they want the Bears to get off to a good start because there's been significant backing of the Bears in the futures market for them to win the NFC and the World Series and their division. So, whether they've got a bet on the game itself, there's going to be a lot of people, I think, very interested in the Bears getting off on the right foot for them for the type of wagers that they've all placed so far.
That's another edition of WagerWise, brought to you by Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Jay, Jake, we appreciate it, and we'll talk with you next Wednesday.
WagerWise on KGYM is a paid presentation brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Check them out at EliteSportsbook.com.
It's an NFL doubleheader on Sports USA. It's kickoff weekend, and we're headed to the Carolinas as Cam and the Panthers defend their turf against Goff, Gurley, and the Los Angeles Rams. Then, it's off to L.A. as the Indianapolis Colts now have Brissett in the saddle with Funchess and T.Y. Hilton by his side as they try to out-duel veteran Phillip Rivers, sending it deep to Williams and Allen. Rams at the Panthers, then the Colts at the Chargers, this Sunday on Sports USA.
An opening Sunday NFL doubleheader at 11:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. KGYM.
And we welcome you in hour number three of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM KGYM 107.5 FM the North Gym, hopefully bringing you Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. The tarp is on the field at Fenway Park at the moment. We will join that game in progress if it gets underway while we're on the air. You can also catch us on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, online at kgymradio.com. Our poll question today, is it too early for Big Ten football, yes or no? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Tune in tomorrow to the tail end of the gym class at about 3:45. It's week two of the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway. Somebody's going to have an opportunity to take home a gift card to Emil's. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is with us momentarily answering your fantasy football questions. We've already got some in the queue, but if you'd like to join the line, the text line is 319-366-1600. Tristan's appearance, sponsored by Imon Communications, sponsoring all fantasy football content here on KGYM, and we're set to bring Tristan on board with us now. Tristan, are you ready for tomorrow night's opener, the Bears and the Packers? There's some intriguing fantasy players involved in this Thursday night contest.
I'm of course ready for it. Who could be more excited than the opening night of football? And you're right, it is a really good matchup.
And the thing that strikes me so much is making that decision about Aaron Rodgers going up against that great Chicago Bears defense. It's one time where I'll say that sitting Rodgers is actually on the table if you've got a good other quarterback.
Well, before we get to the text line, I've got Trey Burton, and he seems to be questionable at tight end tomorrow. Do I cross my fingers and hope that he plays, or do I look to see some of the available players? Both Cincinnati tight ends are out there. Jason Witten, Jack Doyle's available, Mark Andrews. Any of those guys better options than rolling the dice with Trey Burton's health in week one?
Well, I've ranked Burton first, so it's the situation where I'd like to wait until the inactive list comes down and see what decision is made for him. I do think he's going to end up being the best play. But that said, you mentioned Andrews, Mark Andrews' name. Andrews, the reason I can't give you the automatic that Andrews starts over Burton is just because the usage during the preseason did not suggest that Andrews is going to get all of the targets at tight end. There was a lot of Hayden Hurst. So I'm concerned about the usage, but the matchup is great. It's a Miami game. Miami's defense is a complete mess right now, and I think that Lamar Jackson is going to have to look for Andrews at a good amount of time. So, yeah, if you want to go with the safe thing, I don't have a problem making that particular swap. But, I mean, you can wait until the inactives come out.
Tristan 0459 wants to know who to start at quarterback between Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson.
I would start Wentz. I feel like there's some useful pieces on the Washington defense that if they gel over the first couple of weeks of the year, they might become a somewhat scary matchup for quarterbacks. But based on the numbers from last season, at least the personnel on paper, I need to see evidence of that first. And I like what we saw from Wentz during the preseason and a lot of positive buzz throughout the offseason. I think this is a very good time to start him. He's actually my number three quarterback in the ranks this week.
Send us your fantasy football questions for ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft, or pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. 1585, standard scoring league, running back two. Who do I start, Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison, Rashad Penny, or Ito Smith?
I would start Latavius Murray, given those choices, just because I feel like he's going to give you the most volume. I think that his role is stable enough. I could see him getting a good 10 carries. I could see him potentially sneaking in a goal line carry. And in that offense, I do think that there's a decent likelihood that he'll convert with it if he gets that opportunity. I kind of feel bad that you're in this situation where they're mostly flex play options and I'd say low-end ones. It's a little bit of a worry. So given that choice in week one, I'd be going with the guy who has the most stable role.
Tristan, 8258 is digging deep at the tight end position, wanting to know Jimmy Graham or Will Dissly.
Despite the matchup, I would go with Graham there, just because I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to have to look for him if he gets into the red zone. That's Graham's history. I think that's a situation that Rodgers could look for. I feel like last year was a little bit tough on Graham's first year in Green Bay. Maybe year two goes a little bit better. They get a little bit more chemistry between the two. If I'm going to take a chance on one of those two who I rank fairly low, I'm going to go with Graham.
Let's go to the phone lines and bring Michael in Cedar Rapids on board. Michael with a question about a PPR league and some quarterbacks. What do you got, Michael?
Yes, I've got Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger.
So I don't like either matchup for this week. I don't like Rodgers, which I mentioned at the top of the show, just because it's the Chicago matchup. That said, I do think based on the excitement of the first game, it being a big time Thursday game, I do think he's going to throw a lot. There'll be volume. The risk is some turnovers potentially, and the yardage total is iffy. But I still do think he's got a shot at top 10 numbers at the position, and I think that's better than what Ben Roethlisberger gives you. I hate to lean on home road, but it's a fact with Roethlisberger. And the other thing, too, is I think New England secondary is a little bit better than people give it credit.
Tristan, when you look at the Los Angeles Rams backfield right now and the questions about Todd Gurley's knees and then seeing that Daryl Henderson, he maybe struggled a little bit during the preseason, what do you see?
I see a Todd Gurley who really didn't have the injury questions that we heard the entirety of the offseason. So we had this kind of artificial panic built in early in the game, and that kind of scared people off to the point that Gurley was a bargain in certain drafts. The problem is that because of the injury and the nature of it and the fact that it could knock him out for an extended period if it comes back, you have to handcuff him. and it was a tough thing to do based on what you had mentioned about Henderson. Malcolm Brown is really the right handcuff for Todd Gurley right now. I'm watching Henderson and Brown getting drafted in a whole bunch of drafts. Henderson is going very clearly first of the two. I understand why, just because Henderson is probably the future for that backfield if anything happens to Gurley and he can't continue long. You think Brown steps up in the initial weeks? So, frankly, I'm seeing him out there as a free agent in a lot of leagues. If you've got Gurley, I think it's a very smart thing to put Brown on your roster just to protect yourself.
Well, let's keep it in the backfield vein. What do you think the LeSean McCoy news means for folks who own Kansas City running backs?
I think it's very frustrating. I don't like it at all. I kind of like when Carlos Hyde was there, and I knew he really wasn't going to be a factor, and we didn't have to worry about how he cut into Damian Williams' usage. The other thing, too, that really bothers me was that I was pretty excited, too, about Darwin Thompson as a rookie potentially getting some looks late in the year, and that kind of fades a little bit with McCoy coming back to work with his old coach. I think that the fact he's got familiarity with the system means he's going to be used a fair amount right away. Wouldn't shock me to see him get 10 carries a game right off the bat, and that's a problem for Damian Williams. This is a guy who was looking like a top 15 running back, and now it's kind of hard for me to make a case for him as a top 20 running back, and most people drafted by the point that that news broke, so it's a setback. If you can get somebody to bite on Damian Williams as a very clear RB2, you might want to pursue some trades. Otherwise, we've got to just wait and see, hope for the best.
68-12, you mentioned that Big Ben, you didn't like Big Ben's matchup. Do you like Jameis Winston's matchup better?
I do by a lot. I actually really like Jameis Winston's matchup this week. San Francisco's defense, another situation of they do have some personnel on paper who could gel in time, but based on the returns last year, and some of that was injury-related, it is a good matchup for opposing quarterbacks. And I do think this is the key. Tampa Bay is going to throw a lot. It's a very heavily pass-based offense here. So I think they're going to go to the pass first. It means Winston could get you 40 pass attempts. And even if he turns the ball over once or twice, he's going to put up better numbers.
Fantasy football questions asked and answered by Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Jack in Central City, looking for a flex play between Alshon Jeffrey, Chris Godwin, or Austin Ekeler.
All three are worthwhile plays. I would start all of them if I had the opportunity to do so, because I think they're all going to put up good numbers. But because you have to choose here at flex, I'm going to go with the guy who's got a combination of usage and matchup, and that's tying to Jameis Winston. It's Chris Godwin. Godwin is going to match up very well here. He's going to be heavily used. The Bucs coaching staff has said, and I know they're joking and exaggerating here, that he'll be on the field for every snap. Mathematically, that's not possible. But he could be out there for a number that could contend for the league lead in that category. And if that's the case, I want Godwin in there every week, starting with this one.
7255 wants to know about a former UNI Panther, David Johnson. Boom or bust this season?
I lean more towards boom. I do think he's going to fit very well with his pass-catching ability. It's among the best in the game with this system that is going to lean a little bit more pass-heavy. I know the offensive line is a little bit of a concern, but remember, this is not a traditional offense. This is one where they're going to get creative. They're going to rush with Kyler Murray a decent amount. That's going to throw opposing defenses off. So I think David Johnson's not going to fall right into the traditional matchups. I think it's very likely he returns you RB1 numbers.
Trent from Marion, Ben Roethlisberger seems to be a very popular guy to ask about today. A Big Ben or Baker Mayfield?
I'd go Baker Mayfield this week. I don't like Baker Mayfield's matchup all that much, but I also don't hate it. It's one where I consider it middling to below average. But just based on what the Browns were doing late last year, over the final half of the year, they were passing deep, which means a lot of very big upside plays. And a lot of touchdown potential, which is key, especially with Odell Beckham Jr. there now, a great receiver to catch those. I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield's upside here over Roethlisberger.
Any concern about Zeke Elliott in week one?
Yeah, I mean, he practiced today, and you know he'll probably get another one on Friday. And I do think there'll just be some questions about his usage, whether they give him a full 20 carries. Remember, this is a guy who would lead attempt to lead the league in carries for every given week. I don't know if that's going to happen, but in his defense, he could get you 13 to 15 carries and going up against the Giants, which is a great matchup, put up numbers that rival anybody else who's out there at the running back position. He's in my top five. He's not where he would traditionally be, which is number two each week, but that definitely means he's a start, and I'm not overly concerned.
21-39 in a full-point PPR league, Latavius Murray, Corey Davis, or Lindsey?
I would go with Lindsey there, and I'm writing him up actually tomorrow for my matchups math column. The first one comes out tomorrow. That I'm making the defense for Lindsey that he's going up against Oakland, which brought in a pair of linebackers who underperformed last year. So the front, the defensive front for Oakland, in my estimation, is weaker than it was last year. So Lindsey's matchup is definitely a plus one. So even if he gets a 50-50 split here with Royce Freeman, I think there's enough potential that he's got the best upside of these three.
6385 wants to know whether to start Aaron Jones or Damian Williams.
It's close. I hate Aaron Jones' matchup. I mentioned it before. Chicago's got a very good defense, and the run defense is the thing that I'm particularly concerned about. But just based on the depth of the Packers' offense and the fact that Jones is going to be the guy in the backfield and very likely get you 15 carries, I'm going to go ahead and take the chance. I'm just a little bit concerned about what Williams is going to give you in week one. I don't know what the usage is going to be. And frankly, it's not a plus that he's got a Jacksonville matchup. That's not a much better one than what Jones has.
91-57 needs two out of these four. T.Y. Hilton, Marlon Mack, D.J. Moore, or Devin Singletary?
I'm going to give you Moore first. I am worried about Cam Newton, but I do think Moore is going to play a very key part in terms of the deep ball. I really want to avoid Hilton here. I really do. And I think the way in which to do it is, I'll give you this. Hilton individually is a very bad matchup. He's going to get Casey Hayward most of the time. I'm going to give you Marlon Mack. I know there's the worry that the Colts could fall behind and Mack becomes a very minimal part of the game plan. But if you want to attack the Chargers defense, it's going to be on the ground, attack the defensive front. So I think Mack's got the best matchup here. He's my second.
Tristan, does Christian Kirk have breakout potential now with Kyler Murray?
I think he does. Actually, I think he is one of their guys who could put up some a lot of the big plays that we're expecting. If Murray's going to get things done in terms of the big plays through the air, I think Kirk is going to be the recipient of a lot of those. I actually got I either got two or three shares of him over my past four drafts over the past week. So I'm definitely very much in.
Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions. Again, the number 319-366-1600. A question for Tristan, 8174. Jared Goff or Jameis Winston?
Goff is a favorable matchup against Carolina. They're weak in the secondary. I'll grant him that. I wanted to get him into my top 10 quarterbacks. I just couldn't do it. I feel like Goff is the guy who you know, and he just gives you the same kind of numbers each and every week. I'm going with Winston, and I'm going with the upside here. I sung his praises in the matchup a little bit earlier. Go for the upside.
37-56 PPR league, looking for a flex play between Ridley, Lindsey, or Samuel.
Ridley, Lindsey, or Samuel. I'd say that this is close between Ridley and Lindsey. I'm going to go back to Lindsey here for the aforementioned comments on the Oakland matchup. Again, it's a case of he could give you 12 carries. I think that the per carry potential is too great to ignore.
Tristan, we asked earlier today, what's the lowest you saw Ezekiel Elliott go off the board? We had somebody say pick number 23. Can you beat that? Did you see him fall any further than that?
I did not see him fall that far. The furthest I saw him go was 14th, and in all of my drafts, he was being treated like a guy who was going to come back and play. Now, granted, that a lot of that these drafts happened after the point that we heard reports that they were nearing a deal, so... But the lowest point I saw was 14.
Somebody else asking, and maybe that it's with a grain of salt with what you just said after the reports came out, but what was the highest that you saw anybody draft Tony Pollard?
The highest for Pollard. So Pollard in my auction league, which was a standard amount, 200, went for $9, which I felt like was a lot for a theoretical handcuff. In terms of draft formats, Pollard, I believe I recall him going in the eighth round of one of mine. I remember him distinctly going in the 10th in another. I believe eighth was the high point.
Speaking of handcuffs, who are maybe the two or three most important handcuffs to own out there if you're looking to try to keep somebody from having a backup? Give us a list off the top of your head.
I'd say that Kareem Hunt, even though he's got the suspension, going to miss a lot of time, he's a natural handcuff. He fits the specific description tied to Nick Chubb. And remember that if you have Chubb, you're already in a great spot. So you're locking in the safety during the most important weeks, which is your fantasy playoffs. I think he's probably the most critical of the handcuffs for you. I think James Conner needs to be tied to Jalen Samuels. I'm a very big Samuels guy. The production on a per-snap basis was very comparable between the two players, so be really careful to make sure you handcuff those two. And the other one that really took off in the late part of the preseason, Mark Ingram needs to be handcuffed to Justice Hill. I think there's a good chance there they're going to run a lot, and if Ingram doesn't get it done or gets hurt, Hill is going to step in, and I don't think there's going to be an awful lot of difference between the two.
What's your outlook for Le'Veon Bell in his new situation? Do you think there will be a drop-off?
I think there will be a little bit. I think there's going to be some rust. And part of this, in fairness, Le'Veon Bell is a great football player. He's put up some unbelievable numbers in the 3 years before the holdout. So think about what we're comparing him to. He could take a step back and still be an RB1, but it'll be a disappointment compared to what he did in Pittsburgh. So kind of from that aspect, I do think he's going to be a little bit, quote, rusty. I just don't think people are going to have a problem with it. I think he's going to be a guy who's very firmly between 6 and 10 at the running back position come year's end.
Tristan, we appreciate it as always, and we'll check in with you next Wednesday night. Thanks for the time.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Good luck this week.
Give him a follow on Twitter if you're not already doing so, at Sultan of Stat, ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft, answering your fantasy football questions every Wednesday night at 6:15 here, courtesy of Imon Communications. Imon also giving you an opportunity to win $500 with us this year in our KGYM knockout pool. Registration and sign up open now. If you want to choose either the Bears or the Packers, you got about 24 hours to do so. Details on our website, kgymradio.com. For those of you who have never participated in a knockout pool before, it's really pretty simple. You get to use each team in the NFL one time each season. So, for instance, if you did want to choose the Bears at home tomorrow against the Packers and they win, you advance. You're still alive in week two, but you can no longer pick the Bears the rest of the season. Seems pretty simple, right? It gets pretty difficult. But at the end, somebody's going to be left standing, and they will take home $500 courtesy of Imon Communications.
See, I thought it was going to be easy the first time I did it, Todd, and I was out in week one.
We did one, an inter-office knockout pool, about 4 or 5 years back, and it was over in 3 weeks, and we wound up rebooting. We collected even more money from everybody, and we started over again just because there were some just wacky upsets early on that season. Again, details available at kgymradio.com, the Imon Communications knockout, or the knockout pool, KGYM knockout pool, brought to you by our friends at Imon Communications. It's 6:34. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Kyle will join us in the studio. He'll give you an update on what's going on the Eastern Iowa sports scene, and we'll hear from at least one more Iowa football player, a little bit of what Tyler Linderbaum had to say when he met the media yesterday in Iowa City. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Back after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that
that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Friday afternoon at 3. Tune in to 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. The gym class will be coming to you live from Linmar before their matchup with Kennedy. This is Scott Unash, and I'll be your host alongside Mark Dukes. Countdown to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, Friday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
The perfect soundtrack for your active smart rock summer on Smart FM. Laundering the beach towels. Playing highway bingo on the way to grandma's. Replacing the wicks in the tiki torches. Making macaroni crafts with the kids. Attaching new blades to the weed whacker. That second date. Whatever this hectic summer brings your way, you can count on Smart FM to provide the perfect soundtrack. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank, connection is here. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Chris Atterbury. The Minnesota Twins looking to make it two in a row at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. They'll hand the ball to Jose Barrios. He'll be opposed by left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez. It's right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And we welcome you back in the third and final hour of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. And a reminder, we are doing a little bit of house cleaning on 107.5 FM's tower. That may affect your ability to pick up 107.5 FM over the next couple days. We hope to have the interruptions kept to a minimum, but if you normally listen to us on our North Gym frequency, and many, many, many people do, we do want to remind you that you still have 1600 AM as an option, streaming online at kgymradio.com, or if it just so happens to be that you were driving south, you can also catch us on 106.3 FM. Let's bring our producer Kyle Mann into the studio. Three times a day on the show, he brings you up to date on what's going on in the Eastern Iowa sports scene with a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
The NFL season kicks off tomorrow with the Bears and Packers. There's going to be a handful of players, familiar players, set to be on the field, including former Cyclone David Montgomery with the Bears. But in the final minutes of yesterday's show, we learned that former Cyclone receiver Alan Lazard will also be in uniform tomorrow night, as he's been promoted to Green Bay's 53-man roster. He was actually cut over the weekend, but immediately signed to their practice squad, and then after a couple injuries, he's now set to make his regular season NFL debut. Former Iowa State guard Lindell Wigginton also took another step towards becoming a professional athlete today as the Minnesota Timberwolves announced they've signed him to an Exhibit 10 contract that now makes 9 former Cyclones with NBA deals. Cedar Rapids Xavier graduate Mitch Keller broke into the major leagues with the Pirates this season, but last night had a scary moment when he was drilled by a line drive that struck the wrist of his throwing hand. The ball left the bat at a velocity of 105 miles per hour, but miraculously, Keller appears to have avoided anything too serious. Reports are that he played catch today, and there's at least a slight chance that he throws his scheduled bullpen and makes his next start. The Colonels have their first game of the Midwest League playoffs tonight, hosting Quad Cities. The Colonels have Luis Rio out there and would like to capitalize here at home, as Game 2 tomorrow and a potential Game 3 on Friday would both be on the road. The team did take 2 of 3 from the River Bandits just last week, so they're trying to do the same tonight, and they just got started a bit ago. They should be a batter or two in by now. Tonight after the show, we'll pick up the Twins and Red Sox in progress from Boston. The Twins have pulled out to a 6.5-game lead in the Central, so you can hear them keep trying to extend it on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
And again, that game may or may not be in progress, depending on the weather situation in Massachusetts. They do have the tarp on the field at Fenway at the moment. Jose Berríos, the scheduled starter for the Twins, Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox, will keep you up to date over the course of the next 10 minutes or so while we're on the air. We brought you a little bit of what Kyler Schott had to say yesterday at the Iowa media availability. There's another Eastern Iowa product on the offensive line making a name for himself with the Hawkeyes this year. Safe to say Tyler Linderbaum had a pretty successful debut with the Hawkeyes as the team's new starting center. Here's Tyler Linderbaum from his media comments yesterday.
Just hitting a new guy that's not wearing black and gold for the first time.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think the O-line, we got after him. We had a lot of things that we still need to work on, but it was a good starting point. Now we need to carry that over to week two.
Why do you think you guys were able to pretty much not miss a beat once Alaric went out?
I guess we just got to have that next man in mentality, knowing that those 3-4 other guys need to step up and come into the game and make an impact, and I think we did that.
How would you describe Kyler? I mean, guys are calling him Jack Black and Shooter.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
I mean, what is he like?
Shooter's a great guy. he comes to practice every day and gets after it. And you know every day you're going to get the best out of Kyler Schott, and that's what you kind of like about him.
How confident are you in the depth of this whole line right now?
Yeah, very confident. There's guys that can come in and make an impact, knowing that if someone goes down, you can trust that guy who comes in for him.
What's the toughest thing about rotating guys in for you, making the line calls and kind of knowing who's next to you? I guess, how tough is that as a line? Because you know, you always talk about cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
What are the challenges with rotating guys?
It wasn't too bad. I guess in fall camp, we got a lot of repetition with different guys working different positions, so we kind of build that chemistry, and I think that was beneficial, and stuff like that happens in the game, happens in football, so that was beneficial to have that chemistry with those guys.
When you lose a guy like Alaric, does it feel like you kind of got to step your game up a little? Everybody has to maybe step up a little bit because you lost such a great talent?
Right, you have to have that next guy in mentality, and obviously it sucks that you lose such a great player in the game that early in the game. But you can't get down on it. You got to know, all right, guys, we need to step it up. Next man in, let's go, let's get after it.
The running game seemed improved. How would you kind of assess what you saw on tape from the running game?
I just think the line is just focused on finishing blocks, working on that technique, and not being the guy that lets their defensive lineman make the play or linebacker make a play. And I think if all five of us are trying to finish blocks, then these talented running backs can spring open a big play.
That was Tyler Linderbaum yesterday in Iowa City, the former Solon product taking over at center for the Hawkeyes. You're the resident offensive line guru. What'd you think of Tyler Linderbaum's maiden voyage at center?
About what people expected. He was very solid. The entire offensive line was very good the entire night, and that bodes well for this team. The running game looked very good. Mekhi Sargent and Torrin Young looked like they had a little bit extra burst, which probably comes from a little bit more confidence from the experience that they gained last year. But they're going to be put to the test. They play a very tough schedule against some really good defenses. And that's, I think, when we can ultimately judge all of these guys, from Nate Stanley to the running backs, to the receivers, to the offensive line?
Well, we'll give you a quick update from our pal Phil Miller, who covers the Minnesota Twins for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. The rain has passed Fenway. The tarp is being removed. And the Red Sox have announced a 7:55 first pitch. I believe that is 7:55 Eastern time, which means a 6:55 first pitch. So we'll join that game in progress, but it won't be too far in progress when we join up with the Twins and the Red Sox. Let's take a look at some more player audio from yesterday with the Hawkeyes. Rutgers coming to town. The Scarlet Knights, members of the Big Ten. It's still hard to look at this game as a Big Ten contest in the eyes of a lot of people. Michael Ojemudia talked about what he sees in the revamped Rutgers offense. As we mentioned with Keith Sargent from the Newark Star-Ledger, they've got a new quarterback taking over for Art Sitkowski, at least in week one. That was the case. Got a couple running backs that look like they can move the ball. The offensive line was pretty solid. Here's Michael Ojemudia talking about what he sees when he looks at the Scarlet Knights.
What strikes you about their offense in the couple days you've been able to look at last week's tape and maybe some other?
Yeah, they definitely can put up points really quick. And the quarterback, he threw for like three TDs, 300. So they're definitely very explosive. But there's always opportunities for the DBs to get interceptions too. So it's going to be a two-way challenge for us, but there's definitely going to be opportunities for us.
Do you approach this game maybe, I know it's week two, but you approach it like a week one opponent because you only have this one tape on them and, you know, you've only played Rutgers one time in Iowa's history?
Yeah, with Big Ten play being so early, we're going to definitely have to be like on our game, because with week one opponents, your technique really has to be good because you don't know exactly what they're going to come and do. Not much film, so you just have to be technically sound. And so with not much tape on them yet, it's going to be a challenge to see what they come in and do.
Is it weird playing a Big Ten opponent in week two? I mean, normally you don't play them until like week four, week five.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of weird, but we have to prepare for any team we prepare for the same way. But it's definitely going to be a challenge just to be better on your game and get your mistakes out the way earlier, because this game is going on your record, so it's definitely going to be a challenge for us.
Michael Ojemudia answering some interesting questions on Tuesday in Iowa City. We'll take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll let you know what and where you can... Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Okay, we'll let you know where you can join us for a Thursday edition of the Todd Brawley Camp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now. 800-510-7517.
Hey, it's Chris Atterbury. The Minnesota Twins looking to make it two in a row at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. They'll hand the ball to Jose Berríos. He'll be opposed by left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez. It's right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And again, we will get you hooked up with the Twins Radio Network on 107.5 FM just as soon as we are off the air. You should not miss much of the action as rain pushed back the start of that contest to about 5 minutes from now. So we'll get you Twins and Red Sox baseball. Jose Berríos on the mound. The Cubs are idle tonight after sweeping the Seattle Mariners at Wrigley Field, still with a firm grasp on the second wild card in the National League race. Cardinals at home hosting the San Francisco Giants. That's where former Colonels outfielder Jalen Davis making his Major League debut tonight at Busch Stadium playing for the Giants. Always great to see former Colonels advancing to the Major Leagues. The White Sox are up on Cleveland 2-1 in the bottom of the second inning. Detroit is at Kansas City tonight. That's a 7:15 first pitch, and that will do it for a look at the Major League scoreboard as far as Midwestern teams are concerned. One final in the books today. The Mets beat the Nationals 8-4 after last night's epic collapse against the Nationals, history-making collapse against the Nationals. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You're going to use it to reach out to us tomorrow as we venture out from the KGYM studios. Alex, we're going to be back at Mulligan's Pub, and Thursday, I can't think of a better day for people to join us at Mulligan's because it's the kickoff to another season of the NFL.
And if you want to watch the Bears and the Packers, what better way to do it than, I don't know, maybe join us at Mulligan's between 3 and 6 for their outstanding happy hour and then 6 until close while you're watching the game? You can get half-price wings.
We will have for you a pair of passes to Adventureland. They are still open on Saturday and Sunday. That's your prize for joining us at Mulligan's tomorrow, 1060 Old Marion Road. We'll be talking with author John U. Bacon. He's got a brand new book out about Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. Also on the program tomorrow, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, as he'll give us the Packers' perspective on that opener against the Bears at Soldier Field. All that and more. Join us tomorrow, the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. If you missed anything from today's show, Gary Rima, Keith Sargent, Tristan Cockcroft, we'll post the podcast momentarily. It'll be available for you at KGYMRadio.com.